United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
What am I supposed to do? Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who're supposed to be preaching are now warring on my TV.
Is in doubt. Is he a son?
Let's go! decade of my life. I'm startled, or at least taken aback, when people walk up to me and tell me they are Christians. My first response is the question, already? It seems to me a lifelong endeavor to try to live the life of a Christian. I believe that is also true for the Buddhist, for the Muslim, for the Jainist, for the Jew, and for the Taoist who try to live their beliefs. The idyllic condition cannot be arrived at and held on to eternally. It is in the search itself that one finds the ecstasy. One of my earliest memories of Mama, of my grandmother, is a glimpse of a tall, cinnamon-colored woman with a deep, soft voice standing thousands of feet up in the air on nothing visible. That incredible vision was a result of what my imagination would do each time Mama drew herself up to her full 6 feet, clasped her hands behind her back, looked up into a distant sky, and said, "I will step out on the word of God." The Depression was difficult for everyone, and was especially so for a single black woman in the South, tending her grandson and her two grandchildren. It caused her to make the statement of faith often. Mama would look up as if she could will herself into the heavens and tell her family in particular and the world in general, "I will step out on the word of God. I will step out on the word of God." Immediately, I could see her flung into space, moons at her feet and stars at her head, comets swirling around her. Naturally, since Mama stood out on the word of God, and Mama was over 6 feet tall, it wasn't difficult for me to have faith. I grew up knowing that the word of God had power. In my 20s in San Francisco, I became a sophisticate and an acting agnostic. It wasn't that I had stopped believing in God. It was just that God didn't seem to be around the neighborhoods I frequented. And then a voice teacher introduced me to Lessons in Truth, a book published by the Unity School of Christianity. One day the teacher, Frederick Wilkerson, asked me to read to him. I was 24, very erudite, very worldly. He asked that I read from Lessons in Truth a section which ended with these words, "God loves me." I read the piece and closed the book, and the teacher said, "Read it again." I pointedly opened the book, and I sarcastically read, "God loves me." He said, "Again." After about the seventh repetition, I began to sense that there might be truth in the statement, that there was a possibility that God really did love me, Maya Angelou. I suddenly began to cry at the grandness of it all. I knew that if God loved me, then I could do wonderful things. I could try great things, learn anything, achieve anything. For what could stand against me with God, since one person, any person with God, constitutes the majority? That knowledge humbles me, melts my bones, closes my ears, and it also liberates me. I am a big bird winging over high mountains and down into serene valleys. I am ripples of waves on silver seas. I am a spring leaf trembling in anticipation.
Good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. It's 10 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here, and the number is 347-945-5229, and I hope you're having a good day today. It's Open Mic Friday, and want to hear from you here on the 30th of May. When I come back, it'll be June, can you believe it? And so we're here, and we are looking forward for you calling in. We'll talk about what you want to talk about today. I've got somebody already in the queue who wants to say something, who's calling from a private call. Good morning. How are you? Hey, private caller, your mic is on. You can't hit the button and not answer. Alabama, your mic is on also. Well, I'll start here. I was talking to a friend of mine this morning, and I called and I said, "How you doing?" They said, "I'm doing good. How are you?" And I said, you...
"Did you hear me?"
He said, "Yeah, I can hear you now. You had your mute button on."
Yeah, I was just saying, top of the morning. See, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. I listened to Maya Angelou, and you know, I mean, she, you know, a lot of people are posting different comments about what she may say and stuff like that. But it's been a lot of people that don't know who she is, and black people, and they're coming out. I thought she was the R&B singer, Maya. Then one person came out and said, one guy said something about, you know, y'all don't care about no Maya Angelou. She, one for her, we'll still be sitting on the back of the bus. Like, a guy actually said that. So it's crazy out here right now. I'm just looking at all these different posts these people have made. Real interesting.
You know,
there's a lot about our education system.
That's not our education. That's a lot about our homes. That's our
home.
That's our homes and our environment. It doesn't make any sense. You got to realize we got more CDs than we have books in our homes. That's our home.
And
that's our churches.
Like, you know, what's his face? He's coming back out with Reading Rainbow. He's been on Kickstarter. He's raised he only asked for $1 million. He raised $1 million in 11 hours. And Reading Rainbow with LeVar Burton, he's raised $2.7 million already, like in like, what, 10 days? So, I mean, I'm glad to see it. I hope he raises $6, $7 million, $5 million and get out there and really push it. Because, you know, Reading Rainbow, reading is fundamental. We need it because it's not just reading. It's a quest for knowledge in general. Like, anyway, in any way, shape, or form, you can get the knowledge, obtain the knowledge. Like, reading has its place, but a lot of people are getting away from reading. So
I talked to the governor of the state of Ohio has a cliche that he says, and I have actually taken it on. And he said that if you don't learn to read by the third grade, you can't read to learn by the fourth grade. And what's happening in our schools is we're not teaching our children at an early enough age, and it has to be ongoing, to read so that they can learn after they get done learning to read. And that's fundamental.
Let me ask you this, Tracy. Okay, I was a terrible student. Like, I was a C student all through school. I took remedial reading. I just, when I got older, and even through college, I was doing pretty good in college. But through high school, they told me not to go to college. They said I was going to flunk out. They said I wasn't college material. My counselor actually told me, don't go to college. You're not going to make it. So the thing is, I think intelligence is something intangible. It's not something that you can really grasp by a test or an IQ test or, you know, even with an IQ test, it only measures certain types.
Can I say it this way, Alabama? This is the issue. The issue is you learned how to read. See, you might have been a terrible student. I was not a good student. You know, I had my own way of doing things, and I had my own read. So I was not a good student either. But what I did learn is I learned how to read and learned how to comprehend what I was reading. And actually, my verbal reading is poor because I learned how to speed read. And so my eyes have been trained for so long to read fast. I have a hard time reading out loud. That's a chore. And
well, for me to read out loud, it's kind of hard for me because when I read out loud, I stumble over my words. But if you tell me just to read something and comprehend it, I can do that. But
a lot of my reading
is just because I just want to know something. That excites me, and if I want to know it, I'll read it. So.
But our problem with our young people is we have not taught them how to read, period. See, if anything else, we have a command of the language. I can talk, I can read, I can articulate, I can get it done. We're not teaching our young people how to comprehend, how to read, how to sit still. And it comes from taking time. You don't have to be, you know, the smartest person in the world. You've got to just take time, sit down, and pay attention. Know that your child has a problem with his eyes because every time he goes to read the label on a can that you're trying to open up the soup to, he squints his eyes. But if you're not paying attention to your children and he's just a commodity for you to get a check, that's a problem.
I think once you train a child by like the second, third grade, and it's just habitual, maybe by the sixth grade, you shouldn't have to watch him in the 10th grade level because they know it's a habit. Good study habits are really all it takes to succeed. You don't have to be smart. All you got to do is just have good study habits. I know people that weren't bright, but they had great – they would put 2 hours a day in studying, and they were 4.0 students. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're intelligent. That just means you have good study habits.
But, again, we had – somebody paid attention. Our problem is we're not paying attention to the young people and to the students that we have. That's the problem. I mean, really. We're not paying attention to young people.
It's almost like when, my mom used to train me when I got out of bed every day. Make the bed up. Get your clothes up.
You still make your bed?
It's just a habit. I can't get out of bed and then just leave it all tore up. I date a female, and she leaves her bed up. Bro, my house is nasty. I actually notice it. Like, I know guys that don't pay attention to that stuff. I ain't going to a girl's house, and it's stuff everywhere. The bathroom is just, you're like, well, I got a job. Yeah, but my mom raised kids, and she had a job as well. And
don't come Alabama, don't come to my house. My house is not, no, don't get me wrong. I don't do dirt. I don't do dirt at all. But I do junk. I ain't got time for that. I need a maid.
Good morning.
Good morning. Brown, you still owe me a
apologize to you. I'm going to apologize to you, Tracy. I was never my intention to disrupt or do anything to harm your show.
Thank you very much.
And part of the reason why I took so long and was so stubborn is I don't particularly care for ultimatums. And I had bumped heads with Jeff a number of times. And I'm not always right, but it generally starts with someone disagreeing with you and then calling you an idiot. And I don't normally resort to that. At any rate, when I was a kid, I used to always ask my mother what things said, and she said, I'll be happy when you know how to read. And she went and bought flashcards. And they taught phonics in school then, where they teach you, pH and all the different sounds and all the different letters, and learning to read is a process. But I don't know how they do it these days, but I know people in their 20s that have, they know how to read and read well. My goddaughter just graduated from law school. She's 25 years old. I'm sure that required a lot of reading.
Yes, it does.
And
a lot of writing.
A niece, and I probably shouldn't say where she went, but she went to the school that got a lot of infamy over the past week.
Santa Barbara?
Which is a sought-after school and a difficult school to get into.
That's University of California. So that is no joke to get in.
No.
You better have some money to pay for it or some bright minds for somebody else to pay for it for you.
Right.
That guy was a pure loser. Like, I hate to say it like that, but...
No. He wasn't a loser.
Let me give you my perspective, then you can go and shoot.
Alabama, let Brown finish before you jump in and change the subject.
I'm done. I was just saying that I know of two young adults that I'm close to and involved, and that have navigated the educational thing successfully.
But they worked at it.
Their
parents worked at it. They're still working at it.
You want to know something? One of them, the goddaughter, didn't have – her father was never around.
But her mama was, or her uncle was, or somebody was. She just didn't do it on her own. And you've got to have that support system.
I talk about this with my other friends that have children and college age, and I have a friend that has six kids that, like, I've known since we were kindergarten. He says, it's up to the kid.
To do what?
Whether they're going to apply themselves or not, whether they take it seriously or not.
Oh, okay. I don't get that option.
He said he
concerned
he
about
he
your health.
Well, he just
Go
says
ahead.
he doesn't he just doesn't take responsibility for the successes, the academic successes of some, when some of the other ones who may be brighter don't necessarily do as well in school.
Well, it was you have to take ownership, but you have to teach children to take ownership. You just don't. Ownership doesn't show up. And we have to you have to train children from a young age. Go ahead, Alabama, before I take my break.
I was just going to say that the guy was a real, like, I just felt like he was a loser in that. He actually would say, I watched his video. I watched all of them. He was just making points like, I'm an attractive guy. I'm magnificent. I'm this, I'm that. I'm nice. I'm a gentleman. Why don't they like me? Why don't he? That's all he kept saying. I want sex. They won't give me sex. They don't like me. And the thing is, I just felt like he didn't understand, and he really needed someone to come along and show him, like, look, man, if you're going to be a man, call yourself a man, and you're going to have to face rejection, you're going to have to face that, and you're going to have to learn how to overcome not being wanted by certain women. Not every female that you want is going to like you. But you got money, you got wealth, you could go anywhere in the world and get a woman, and you stressing because some little bloodhead woman at some college don't like you. Come on, man.
Alabama, listen to this. I want you to really understand this. We fail to realize that your money, your status, your address, your car does not give you peace of mind, nor does it give you mental stability.
That's true.
And this young man was mentally troubled. He had major issues.
Major.
You can't throw money at it. Their parents probably did not acknowledge it when he was a young boy because this is not his first episode, even though he was under mental care, because it started at a very young age. And then we need to also understand rejection is a very, very powerful tool. Rejection will blow your mind, and it causes a depression that if you're already loony on the front end, it'll take you over the top. Because you get voices talking in your head. You've got people talking on the outside, and then you're trying to pursue somebody, and everyone you try to pursue tells you that you're a loser.
I didn't say that. What I was saying was that the guy had mental issues, but the issues, the points that he was making, he got pushed off the edge. He was crazy, but the points that he was making can be fixed. It's not like that's the end of the world just because some chick don't want you. Like, he just.
But it was to him. That's what I'm saying. You got to realize my reality is different than something being real.
Wow.
He was messed up. I mean, his reality told him that, you know, you can't make it.
Right. You know what? Just the opposite of Maya Angelou's self-talk. You know, the self-talk that she had when the guy made her read, you know, God loves me, God loves me. She said after the seventh time, she started to believe it, you know. You know, and so all this kid was doing was reinforcing this negativity. I doubt he approached that many girls because he had no confidence. And he has this voice in the back of his head or in the front of his head telling him that no one likes him. He lacked confidence and he was very creepy. Extremely, extremely creepy.
Well, he seemed like he needed a mentor to kind of come along and help him, and he needed some medicine because he was so lost.
But I don't even think I could have helped him.
I don't think people have to want to be helped. The problem is when you have parents and your parents don't acknowledge that you have a problem, you have a problem. You know what I mean? When you're a young man or a young woman and you have a problem and the people around you don't acknowledge that you have a problem, and this man has been troubled for years.
I'm going to say this right here. I know it's going to be unpopular, but I'm going to say it. I guarantee you if that guy had been sleeping with all those women he was talking about, I don't think he would have did it. I don't.
But let me say this.
Maybe
that's
just me.
Hold on. Wait a minute. I'll say it this way. If he had not been rejected, he may not have done it. But you got to understand, even if he had not been rejected, eventually he would have done something just as crazy or crazier.
Oh, yeah, he probably would have killed his kids or something. He was crazy.
That's what I'm saying.
The most hurtful rejection of all is your first love.
Oh, baby, did it.
Or the woman that you really club, when that burns out, he would have killed her and her whole family.
But why did he need therapy at 8 years old? I mean, unless you're going to threaten to hurt your siblings or you torture a neighbor's cat, I don't understand why his parents felt the need to put him in therapy at 8 years old.
He might have been doing things like that.
Ooh, no, no.
And again,
I know a young man that needed to go in therapy and deal with his issues at five. I mean, you guys, when you're dealing with mental issues, you don't know when they're going to start.
I didn't know that they started trying to find him help that early. I haven't seen any more stories on him, and I read enough of it, and it's disturbing that somebody can be that warped out there. And you want to know something? That place is as close to paradise as
it
is paradise. That campus
is
right there on the water. Go ahead.
All right, I'm gonna local call your mic is on. I gotta take a break.
Good morning. I want to apologize today when I called there. I was a little hot, dealing with body issues. I'm dealing with a lot of rejection, but what I do, mine is
you got a lot.
But what I want to say to people is that nowadays, you may think some people are crazy until you get off into the depth of what's going on with them and what's going on around them. Things that are coming on TV nowadays, you know, they're doing things out of the norm. They're brainwashing people, you know, they rape kids, 8 years old coming up, is hearing all these false scenarios, and they beginning to think that are true. So the mindset of the things that they're trying to establish now could run some people crazy. I mean, because people thought that I was really out of my mind, but they're beginning to realize that I'm not. Like they was hearing all of a sudden that it was a normal reaction for somebody to get mad because somebody threatened them. Derogatory messages ain't about nothing. You know, specifics is what I want to get into. You know what I'm saying? That's why I procrastinate. You know, because people talking like they talking like it's a contract.
Well, listen,
you can win, but you can lose at the same time. You know, it's got to go one way or another.
Listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSO.
We're in the green room?
Yeah.
Boy, don't you all miss me?
Is that a trick question?
Not at all. If not, that's cool.
I mean, it depends. I mean, it depends. Some days, Brian, you go at folks sometimes, man. Sometimes I just didn't feel like going at you. Like, dang, man, I don't feel like going at Brian, man. Why we can't just have fun and talk and trip out? Brian, get on there and say something, and I got to come back at you. Got to. That's just the way it works. You know, you know the rule.
Does it sound like I'm holding a grudge?
I'm not holding a grudge. I mean, I wasn't thinking about you like that now. I'm just saying, like,
I mean,
as far as, like,
I'm holding
when
a
we would be on there, I noticed sometimes, I don't know, man, sometimes it'll get real, a lot of vitriol towards each other. I'm like, dang, man, well, I don't want to get
you,
like this.
Not just you. You know, Jeff is the one that's the problem, you know. My opinion.
I think the last day that female said you were on weed or something, and then you called out a name, and I think that was the day that it really kind of.
Man, you don't even know what happened, and it's a whole lot of groupthink, you know, and that's done. But that woman was telling me she was going to kill me. That crazy woman from Louisiana, she's going to shoot me. And then Diva deciding that she wants to be in the middle of it. I'm trying to tell her mind her business, and you can't get her to be quiet.
Okay.
She's going to go stronger and stronger. That woman was talking crazy to me, so I just let her have it. And then the show goes from the green room into the show with no warning. So I'm cussing this girl out, but she's talking about she's going to shoot me, she's going to kill me, and that, like, kind of pissed me off. Like, you crazy-ass bro, what the hell are you talking about? Just because, and it all stems from somebody disagreeing with what my opinion is. But so then it floated into the show, and I guess I said something. And I'd already been bumping heads with Jeff because he'll disagree with you. And if you have an idea that's different than his, he'll call you stupid or an idiot in a moment. Man, I've spent too much time on here where I've gotten along with folks to prove and joked around and had a good time. And even with different viewpoints, I mean, I'm not the antisocial one all the time. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening.
Okay.
I'm just,
all right.
You know, they just say my mic is loud, so I try to mute every time
right.
I get. Man, it's whatever, man. I don't really care like that. Hell, I'm going to work. It is what it is, man. I just do this for something to stimulate my brain.
No, but I don't know if you were there, if you heard the story, but that's my.
I was on there that day. I was on there.
Okay,
I was on
when
there,
you heard all that happened, you might. See,
yeah.
It's funny how groupthink takes place. Because no one's talking
honestly,
about that.
Honestly, a lot of people went and contacted her off the show. She wasn't even there that day. People contacted her when all that took place.
Hey, man, whatever. They could do what they do. You know, it is what it is. It is what it is. Oh, Divas tells me I can't curse. I'm older than her.
Now, she was just saying that because it's terrestrial radio. And
good
she didn't
grief,
want to get her in trouble. She didn't want to get them fined or something like that for cursing on the radio.
We were in the green room when that was happening. We were.
Well, I think they did say that you shouldn't cuss in the breaks as well.
Man, these are some conservative people that's going to tell people that they can't. Now, on the air, I understand it's one thing, but in the green room, when someone's threatening you, they're going to tell me that I can and can't do? Give me a break. Give me a break. They're going to tell a grown man how to talk? And I spent too much time on the air on this show talking for extended lengths with using no profanity. So, what the heck? You know what it comes down to, Alabama, and I find it on other shows?
Something.
When you can articulate an argument strong enough and compose your position, because a lot of people say a lot of simple things, you know that aren't thought out. And when you can deconstruct their argument and make your point, that rubs people the wrong way. And when you're
sometimes deconstructing an argument, Brown, it's just in the beholder opinion. Like they think they can just deconstruct it. Somebody they just disagree. Like it's not like you may make a point. I'm like, I disagree. And then I say something. To deconstruct something, it just depends. I mean, I've seen people do it, but a lot of times people don't do that. They just think they have.
Well, I do it.
That's what I'm saying, but I don't know you.
I do it.
You
it
say
happen.
You do it, but then Diva come on here and say she does. And then Jefferson, he does it. And I say I do it.
From time to time, each one of those people have done it. But then again, it all matters where your opinion's at.
Exactly.
So if somebody makes an argument that you agree with, you would think they're prevailing over the other person.
I'll agree with any. I'll agree with Diva. I'll agree with Stanley. I'll disagree with Diva. I'll disagree with Stanley. I'm not going to come on here and just like, okay, here comes Brown, so let me disagree. I agree with you. It just depends on what it is. It just depends, really.
That it is what it is. So these folks have to get here early. There's not thousands of them, or they all start showing up. I haven't been on here a month.
Unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mart Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Breathe it in, kid. Clean, fresh air thanks to these new air handler filters. They're more energy efficient, hold more.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Still made me wait. Still made me wait. Never the man to do it no way. doctor said, while they called your family, you cried out. Because you knew. Now let's fast forward.
And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is open mic. It's 39 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the second to the last day of May, the 30th of May. And Jeff and I are here in studio. Got some folks on the line. Brown apologized, so he's back in there. Alabama's in there. Eric is in there. And we want you to call in also. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. And Brown, just so that you know, there is no green room here.
No green room.
I want you to understand there's no green room because the room ain't green, and when you think that you're off, you think you're off, but you're really not off. But I can't help it, but it is what it is because
that's hero.
Just how things go. But I love you.
I didn't
you
know
understand that.
I didn't know that. I always thought that when the commercials came on that we were talking and nobody was hearing us but us.
No. No, sweetie.
I really believe, and that's what I really thought. And I was telling Alabama and what I thought was the green room that I've spent too much time on this show participating and getting along. I'm not a complete rogue.
I understand, but see, when I try to tell people, a lot of people do this kind of radio for a hobby. They do blog talk and radio for a hobby. What we do here is definitely not a hobby. This, I go to work. This is a job. That's why at 12 o'clock you see me punch out. I got to go, and I go and do more work. This is work for me. I call off. Jeff calls off. They talk about how I don't pay them. That is true, but that ain't the point. It's still a job because we're trying to.
I understand. I understand it, and your show is
a labor of love, isn't it?
Pretty much.
It's a labor of love.
Pretty much. And what we're trying to do here is build a if I have my way and God says the same, we will have a media empire that will not only just host our show but many other shows. It will turn into a network, into a station, and we will go from what we're doing now into bigger things. So we are trying to build something here. And all of you are very, very important to me. All of our listeners are important. All of our callers are important. But I have rules and regulations. And then I got Cumulus sitting on my back, and I want to make them very, very happy. I mean, I got people walking around.
Now I'm happy.
have a long scene with me, because I do not want them coming in here with, you know, I don't want the big guy coming in here with his white hairs on and he's got a great voice. I don't want to get called into the office.
He does have a big voice.
He's got a big voice. And I don't want to get called into the office, because when I get called into the office, he'd be like, you know, I heard the show didn't go that well today. Like, oh, well, you know, sometimes you get passionate. Well, passionate don't have $10,000 in their pocket.
For the FCC, you know.
And cumulatively, I have to say this, for them to be one of the big radio people, you know, radio conglomerates of the nation, they some cheap folk. Don't tell them that I said that. They don't like to pay out money when they don't have to. And I don't want to be the cause of it, because I don't want them to come looking at me, because I ain't got it like that yet.
Well, I don't want to be the cause. I don't want to be the cause of it either.
And then, for my personality, it is, and I try to curb Jeff on calling people idiots and stupid. I do, because I don't think it's a good way to go.
Not a good way to go, Jeffrey.
I'll tell you right down there.
Jeff was partially right that day, though. Because
he might be right, but Jeff can't do idiot. Jeff has to learn how to. He has to find another word for idiot, stupid. And I don't know what root that is.
Ignorance.
Ignorance.
That's what I use.
But
I mean,
he's
got to
find another word. We'll rebuke him on
that.
Ignorance is the, if the true meaning of the word is you don't know.
Yeah, but he called him stupid.
Yeah,
and what,
right.
He called him stupid.
I mean, a Browns fan calling somebody else stupid.
Here we go.
You know what I mean? A Browns fan.
All it is
just
a difference of opinion. That's really what it is.
That's true.
But
Jeff
is.
But Jeff doesn't know how to have difference and opinion, because Jeff is always right. You'll have to
learn.
Why not just
say feeble-minded? Just say feeble-minded.
Jeff is a work in progress, and we're just going to have patience with him. That's all.
That's all.
I just feeble-minded, it connotates that
baby?
Somebody, yeah, a baby, flippy. Or maybe, you know, somebody that's a senior citizen you know, maybe is losing some of their mental faculties. I use ignorance because that's a, if you look up the Webster's definition of it, you don't know.
I use ignorance.
Well, stupid is not really an offensive word, technically. I mean, if you really just want to go to Webster's.
Hey, hold on. Go ahead, Eric. I heard your voice.
Yeah, well, so when you get your own station, I get to have Eric and friends in the afternoons?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We can work that out in a minute, hopefully by the end of the year. Absolutely.
Yeah. Alabama and friends.
No, we can't have that many. Everybody can't have friends.
Oh, God. I got a better.
We can call it the E. What's that, Brown?
Brown Beasley and enemies.
Oh, how about Brown Beasley and the frenemies?
Oh, yeah,
Brown Beasley and
enemies.
Good God, I got it.
Brown Beasley, enemy of the state.
I'm not the enemy.
No, Brown Beasley and the friend
of the enemy of the state.
Hold on, I got to throw this out here. I got to get this off because I don't want to forget it. And I need to know one question from y'all.
Mm-hmm.
How does giving $2.2 billion to Donald Sterling make him?
Yeah, boy, me.
Punish him.
Yeah, punish
I want
me.
Y'all to understand what? Something. I can call y'all a whole bunch of stuff if y'all gonna come by Tracy and friends for $2.2 billion.
I did the math.
Now he's worth $4 billion. Did you guys really think black people were gonna get that thing?
Whoa, one at a time.
One at a time.
Hold on, one at a time. We're doing one at a time now. We're doing good. We've been doing good for the last week. I got to keep the roll going.
I did the math, Tracy, on $2 billion.
Uh-huh.
He'll have to pay $660 million
capital
gains, federal and state taxes.
That's a $1.4 billion.
Yeah, and then, you know, he got to give the NBA his $2.5 million because that's what they find him.
Woohoo!
So
that ain't even a tie.
He'll get
ahead.
A check. Or, you don't get checks that big. They just wire that money.
Uh-huh.
But $1.4 is what he cleared.
Billion.
On a 13.
$13 million.
$12 million. He bought it.
Hold on.
1981.
Hold on, Brown. One at a time.
In 1981, he paid $12 million for that company.
With an M.
With an M.
And he gonna make what?
$1.4 billion.
With a B.
With
Punish me. I don't want none of y'all people, none of y'all listening to my radio show, coming to my game, sitting here. I don't care. Whatever it takes. What?
I mean. You know, at one point, it was like, well, everybody should be celebrating now. What are they celebrating? This guy walked away with $1.4 billion.
You know, the guy comes on here before me named Anna.
Yeah.
That is one.
Y'all got to learn how to fight, because this is, that ain't a fight. That's something wrong with that.
I mean,
Tracy,
that's what I put on my Facebook.
Yeah, Eric.
How about I'll stop by and record a conversation, a private conversation with us, and then I'll put it public, and we'll be good.
May I add something
Go
that
ahead,
you guys
Brown.
Haven't mentioned? That you haven't mentioned? Now, you realize he's estranged from his wife, but they're estranged, but they're together.
Exactly.
I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but yesterday he was ruled incapacitated, which means he's mentally not there. Or they're saying that he's not there. And that's,
listen,
and
they're
that's
saying
how,
that.
So. Let me finish.
Yeah.
They're her lawyers are using, and I don't know what's really going on, you know, but her lawyers are using a clause in the trust, and the trust is what owns the team and all of their assets, that if he's declared incapacitated, that she gets full charge. She's the trustee. So
well, she made the deal.
She made the deal, but she's making the deal with his knowledge, and of course, half whatever money is his. But she made the deal. She made
but
the deal.
She made
the
deal.
Made the deal. And the deal will probably go through.
She made
through.
The deal, and it looks
but
like the owners may not have to vote on it.
No,
and that keeps them clear.
Yeah, they're gonna rubber stamp.
Well,
that
they
as
have
clear.
To
as
vote
as
on
said,
accepting the offer of the new owner.
Oh, you're right. We're talking about the owners expelling Donald Sterling.
Yeah.
No, they won't even have to do that if this deal goes through. And plus,
yeah,
you know,
this
guy Palmer,
goes to the NBA offices.
Hold on.
He's richer than any other sports team owner. He's the richest of any other sports
that's
team
right.
owner.
And it will be. It will go down
billion.
In history. It will go down in
that
history.
Team, that team wasn't worth that, though. Let's say it. That team wasn't worth no dunk.
But the man who paid the money didn't care because it was pocket change.
Yeah, he
what dude got that?
Billion.
That's what I'm saying. He wasn't even on no false list like that. Now, he's paying no $2 billion like his Trump.
Yeah, he is. Yes, he is.
Well, he,
yes, he is.
He one of the Apple founders, but he ain't like
he's
he ain't
Microsoft.
Like Bill. Yeah, but he's Bill. He worth 40
Alabama, you don't. Hold on you don't have to be like Bill. You just got
no.
the head of money. Hey,
right.
You don't have to put my name nowhere. Just give me the check. Remember when Bill Gates stepped down, he became the next CEO of it. Can somebody just call me? Hey. Can you hook a sister up?
I just want what
this
he's
dude got $100 million in payments.
Just give me 1%
of the capital gains.
If you finance that out over 30 years, I think his payments come to like $100 million a month. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
What?
Listen to this. Ain't no finance. This a check.
Yeah.
This a transfer. This cash.
Yeah, just like
yeah,
you
I,
see
I,
on the movies when they're holding the hostage.
$10 million a month.
Well, you know,
this ain't Alabama. This is a problem. Let me say this. This ain't no finance. He don't need no partners. He
right.
don't need no help. He don't need jack. He gonna go
right.
and call the bank and say wire it to 12347, and at the end, hopefully, put Tracy Winbush at the end.
And it's already been.
I tell you what,
he can
they
put
make
it
a mistake
and
send that money to my account. You won't see me no more. I move to Antarctica. They'll never get their money back. It's sent to the wrong account.
You know, and it's already been taxed, Tracy.
Absolutely.
So he can put that in some kind of investment vehicle that's going to get him 89%. And he'll have to pay the 15% tax. But this was the richest deal because the Dodgers got bought for a little bit more.
Right.
But that included property. This included
right.
the only property in this deal was the training facility that the Clippers used.
And then they had another say the other day, this morning, they said, and he's got enough capital on the side that he can play the payer, he can pay players more with all of the luxuries and all the fluff pieces that Sterling didn't do. Hold on. Local call, your mic is on.
Oh, I've listened to y'all conversation.
Okay.
Too many calls. Anyway, you know what I like about this? What if this was his plan all the while?
He just did a Richard Sherman. But on a grand scale.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Richard Sherman did that. I mean, he come out and what they call him, a thug, because he said he was the best. And
Guess what?
Richard Sherman got paid.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman made $550,000 last year as a Super Bowl winner.
Richard Sherman didn't do nothing, though. He didn't do
nothing. No, Listen to what I'm saying. Hold on.
It's
he may not have done anything, but what he did do was he enhanced his marketability.
Exactly.
To where he got a paycheck at the back of that end.
Because oh, yeah.
Remember, he went off on a little white girl. Then we went from not knowing to knowing. Then he won a Super Bowl, and now he gets paid.
He gets paid. His contract was, 40? I think it was guaranteed $42 million. So he could blow both knees out next week, and they still got to pay him for
it. Thank you. It doesn't matter.
And it's the same
well,
way.
No, you're right. When don't blow knees. He just got some sinus problems. He can't run. Hold on. Covina, man, your mic is on.
There.
Yeah, I'm just listening to your chatter, man. I haven't called you all week. I'm just going to sit back and listen. Y'all ain't talking about nothing, so I'm just going to listen.
It's Friday,
talking
dude.
Talking about billions of dollars, and he says we're talking
it's
about
Friday.
Nothing. That ain't nothing, though, to Covina, man. Billions of dollars don't mean a doggone thing.
Especially
well,
when
you know what
we
else?
Ain't
talking about real power. That's real power.
This sale
absolutely
inflates the values of all the other NBA teams.
Sure does.
All
yeah, you're going to see them all being privately recorded
now,
here soon.
but just like the Dodgers sale, it automatically, you know, what do they say, a rising tide lifts all ships? For this team selling for this amount, it makes a lot of those teams worth $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 more. What would the Celtics be worth? This is the
you got to understand that the Clippers, the Yippers, is what we call. And Brown, you live out in California. I know Covina Man does. We call the Clippers the Yippers. For years, it was the lowest producing. Nobody wanted to go to it. 4 years, it was the worst team in the NBA. 4 years, and now
they're like it's like they have a curse on them.
Let me tell you something. He paid his players the least that he could. The guy, if you looked at the Clippers, they were the as far as percentage wise revenue coming in and total profit afterwards. It was the most profitable. Most profitable NBA franchise of all of them.
That's because he didn't pay nothing out.
That's right.
Well,
he ran it like a business. He really did. He paid his players the least amount he could, and then when he got a star player, he traded him away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he kept his payroll down, and he got the maximum return on his investment. And now he really got the maximum return.
He sure did.
I ain't mad at him.
I'm not mad at him either. I mean, I look at it.
And if
we want to switch gears.
He's two people
to
even
know. If we want to switch gears, did you see the guy?
Hold on. What did you say, Brown?
Well, they're saying he's incapacitated. He might be eating baby food and going blah, 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 blah. This whole thing might have sent him forward.
He might be having a couple issues.
He didn't look rash.
That probably made him feel more alive than anything. That man probably got an erection off of it.
And you can tell he was confused in that interview.
We're coming to the top of the hour. So when we get there, we'll go over to another topic.
Yeah, because I want to talk about that guy down in Georgia.
What guy in Georgia?
This man, his son, was playing a bunch of video games, not doing his homework and his chores. And this man was a military vet. He made his son carry a stone, 23-pound stone, like 3 miles, I guess, right?
Uh-huh.
And then once he got there, he made him pick up another stone and carry it back. They arrested this guy, and he spent Memorial Day weekend in jail for child cruelty. He didn't hit him.
Ma, listen, they gonna come. They coming
to get
you.
Yeah, they arrested this man.
Hey,
okay.
They're gonna have to dig my mom and daddy up again.
That's what I said. If that's the definition of
they coming to get you.
If that's the definition of child cruelty. Right, my dad would have been thank God that he had me 45 years ago because it'd be a capital offense what
y'all,
he did.
Hey y'all better be on lockdown this weekend. Hey, bail bondsman, y'all better make the phone call because they're coming to get you.
They're coming to get all the parents.
Yeah, there's no statute of limitations on that.
Lord have mercy.
My grandmother, so I would exert energy.
My grandfather, they gotta dig in,
Bob. I had a lot of energy. I was crazy. And so my grandmother would make me, when I was little, she'd make me move rocks from one side to the other.
Uh-huh.
And then when I got done putting them on one side to the other, she made me take them and put them back. They coming to get them.
I'll tell you what I have to do, because we'll talk that up.
Why would they do that? Yeah.
That was excellent. He needed that. And
it'll taught him something.
He ain't dead. And if he went to the service, he'd be doing that anyway with a 25-pound, 50-pound pack on his back.
When
running
we come back, I'll tell you
two,
what I did
miles.
With my son. No,
Larry, don't tell him because we ain't bailing you out.
No. I mean, I did the same thing. I mean, when I was at the Naval Academy, Tracy, and you did bad. They asked you your rate. You had to know these rates every week.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first week. You had to know every aircraft carrier in the Navy, whether it was conventional or nuclear, its water displacement, how many aircraft it had on it, all the aircraft, how many officers commissioned on, and they would ask you this, and there's no way you could remember all that. If you got it wrong, you'd be sitting at the table, Tracy, and they'd make you pick up a full pitcher of water and hold it out like this from
it,
right? And that taught you to get in your rates because, I mean, you think about it, you hold it out there for a while, and it starts to get heavy.
Oh, yeah.
I did that with my son. Because when I whipped him, Tracy, he would get angry. So I didn't want him to equate him messing up and being angry. So I wanted to teach him a lesson. So I put him in the corner, and I would make him grab either apples or oranges and extend his arms like this in the corner. Now, if he started to get tired, because, you know, you think apple, oranges, that ain't real heavy.
But this is like, it's like weights. When I go to the gym, when you hold 5 pounds out there and you hold them, it's no joke.
So he would start to bring his arms down, and I'd yell at him, get your arms back up, you know. So when it got to the point, and I wouldn't leave him there for an hour or so, just enough to let him know that, you know, I meant business. Well, eventually when it got to the point when I said, okay, Aaron, get the apples and oranges, man, them alligator tears start flowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It taught him, like my dad's whippings taught me, that there was consequences for your actions or inactions.
Let me say this, and there is a difference between cruelty and punishment or chastisement. You know, making somebody kneel on rice is cruelty.
I'd agree. I would have taken that, though, versus the whippings my dad gave me, but I would have taken the rice.
But see, because, you know, our whippings had whelps.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming to get y'all. Listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. Hey, guys, I'm going to leave the phones open in the chat room. Please remember, as I said earlier, you guys got to realize we don't stop recording just because we go to break. We'll be right back.
Y'all talk about that this morning.
Alabama. Alabama.
Mississippi.
Hey, Brown, how'd you get back? Welcome back.
I'm not back. They don't know I'm here.
Yes, they do.
They do?
Yeah, she called your name out.
Oh.
Oh, you just thought you'd sneak in, huh?
No, I apologize to her.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good to have you back.
You know, do you really mean it?
Yes.
You were there egging it on and everything all in the
middle
of it.
I was not egging
it
on.
Yeah, you could have just had a seat and let it work out.
No.
And make me the bad guy. Make me the bad guy.
I'm glad to have you back, though. I did miss you. Hey, I disagree with a lot of people, but just because I disagree with somebody or get into an argument with somebody, I still like them.
Well, you need some support over here.
Everybody but me, right? You don't like, you like everybody but me.
No, Alabama. Oh, my gosh. I swear I wanted to strangle you yesterday.
She came in here looking for you. She's calling.
What you
want to
choke me for?
You're getting a face. Face because of Facebook, just getting my
nerves.
What
about that girl and stuff? What are you doing with that?
Lord
have mercy. Hey, we don't even need to start that back up. I mean, it's clear you lost the debate. Just let it go.
What was the debate?
What was the topic?
Okay.
She tripping about a handgun, about the guy had a rifle that shot some. Somebody took a rifle and shot some people again. So she said, we need to get these off the streets. And I'm saying, look, if you got a 17, 18 shot gun, you can get off all rounds in like 4 or 5 seconds. And reload and be shooting again. And in 10 seconds, you could be shot off 70, 80 rounds. I mean,
that's what made me mad because that wasn't my argument. I didn't say we need to get off the streets. I said, how did this particular person able to get this weapon and do what he did? And the fact that you tried to come at it and say, well, this guy, this gunslinger who trained himself in firing off that weapon like that, that young boy don't know how to, he doesn't have that skill. I know that young boy. I know that young boy. I know people like him. And the reason why they use the high-powered weapons that they use, the reason why he chose that weapon over the shotgun he had was because that weapon was more powerful, exudes power, and he was able to get do more damage in a little bit of time as he intended.
It's more powerful in distance, Diva, in distance. If you're going to a 45 will take somebody's foot off. Trust me. Don't get it twisted.
Okay, again, Alabama, you're not getting it. What I'm speaking of is people like him. I'm speaking of him.
You're talking about access. You're talking about access, but then you turn around and talk about it was easy to shoot. And this. So I go against that point. I understand what you're saying. Talk about the access then. Don't talk about
the
movement.
But that's all I was talking about. I said, how did he specifically get damage to someone?
Alabama just said, all right, we're not going to get into this. We're going to leave that over there on Facebook.
Right.
You guys can start again. But you know there's 300 million guns in America and there's 330 million people. There's a whole lot of guns. I think the real issue is mental illness. Guns are just something that people are not going to give up. The lobby's too strong. People feel too strong.
But this young boy and his friend, they're not mentally ill. This young boy is highly intelligent. He was highly intelligent. Football player in high school, and he wasn't bad. You know what I'm saying? It's just after high school, he fell into the wrong crowd. That tends to happen to these young men in Youngstown. It's no big surprise.
Oh, this happened locally up there. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, this
like
happened
locally. Maurice Correct got into some mess up there, and he's supposed to have been in the league.
Well, Maurice Correct wasn't the brightest kid, you know what I'm saying, wasn't
oh,
the brightest
God.
School.
Oh, God. He's just a wreck. Yeah.
But
why would
Maurice,
you say that?
Here's the difference between
why would
Maurice
I say that?
Correct.
Because that boy blew his life over some dumb stuff, over robbing someone, snatching a purse.
The NCAA wanted to make money off that boy, and I thought that was wrong. That boy wanted to go to the league. He was ready, and then he fought it, and he won the first one, and they blackballed him and did him wrong. The thing about Maurice Correct is, I grew up with him and his brothers, he was always in trouble.
So that didn't surprise me that he got into some mess again, even though he was, you know, had high hopes of going to the NFL.
I saw every one of his home games. And that boy was something serious. I mean, I'm glad I had to play against him. Because he was running cats over. It wasn't even fair to the other teams. He was so big and fast.
Yeah, he was a good player. I will never doubt that. But the fact is, I'm not surprised.
Ohio State wanted to make money off of him, though. They got upset because they wanted to make
money
off of him.
They make money off everybody. They make money off all players.
Yeah, but he decided to go out early. I think he should have that right to go out. If he want to come out, let him come out. If he's good enough.
I remember that a bit, but he continued to make bad decisions, and I'm just going to – that's the first thing I say, that he's just an idiot.
Hold on. I saw the guy's story, and there's a side to it. When people do stuff like that, they got a reason. It's not just that they just –
come on,
he's
an idiot. She just told you he was in trouble all the time.
He was a troubled kid. Even as a kid, he was running here robbing and stealing and hanging out with the local drug dealers.
He snatched somebody's purse at nighttime. He knew who he was because he's got a famous face. And then he took her cell phone and other stuff and got caught with it. Not that long after. Then he got out on bail, and he was riding around drinking vodka with guns, with machine guns. And then... I don't know if he went to prison first or went to prison afterwards, but he hooked up with some Israeli gangster out here in California, and the dude was like, you know,
because he was getting ready to go to camp. He was training to go to camp.
Right. Now, was that before he went to prison or after he went to prison?
That was before.
Okay, before he went to prison. But he made a bad decision there and got into a big mess.
But he's not like that now. He's changed. So I just don't know.
Oh,
year. It took at least 60 people. This senior year, it took at least 6 people to die from it.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on the SOM AM 600. It's 7 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock, and Larry and Jeff are here in studio. Got a lot of folks in the chat room. Glad to see that. I want you to call in and also and just have a conversation with us. I'm stuck on testimony. It's not happy.
Testimony is a hot song.
It's not happy.
Yeah, but this, who is this, John P.?
No, it's Anthony Brown.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've heard Anthony Brown the other day when you played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just got a nice little groove to it.
Oh, it's got a nice... There's some nice gospel out there right
yeah.
now.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't even realize that it's gospel.
Yeah.
Watch out play Awesome. That's a nice song. Awesome.
Awesome.
The Truth. And, you know what I'm talking about. My God is awesome. That's a nice one.
Yeah, it is. We do that in our praise and worship at that church.
Charles Jenkins? Is that who does it?
No, just play it.
No, it's Marcus something.
You want...
It's Marcus something. I forget his name.
Okay, I'll find it.
Tracy, that what I was talking about right before we went to break, the guy, I'm still having a hard time wrapping my head around that, Jeff.
Well, you have to understand something. For people like what we have in charge now to be successful, they have to break down society to its lowest common denominator to where people are out of control. So now here this man tries to bring his son under control, and they can't have that. You can't have that. You have to make sure that there's anarchy going on so the government can come in and save the day, you know, like Mighty Mouse or something like that. And that's the foolishness of what's going on. That's why you have all these scandals and all these people running amok because they don't know what the heck they're doing. And, you know, it's just crazy. And they're just about, yes.
Hold on. Finish your statement.
I made my point.
No, listen. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to navigate.
Finish.
Hold on.
Let him finish. All right.
I want everybody to finish because we're going to do it right because people are happy now that we're not talking on something. So finish your point.
Well, my point was that they need to have confusion so that they can not only keep you voting stupid, but that they can, have you in a state where the government has to be your nanny. They want the armored personnel carriers on the streets of the major inner cities and keeping people in line. That's what's going to happen. It's not a if, it's going to. And if some things don't change quickly, it's over. It's over for certain sectors of our society, period.
Go ahead, Brown.
May I? Jeff, you really want to blame the President of the United States and the current administration? No, that's what you did.
That is not what I did. I said like them.
Let him finish.
The way I understood you're saying is that the current administration, that they're responsible for this incident.
No, sir.
And you sure implied that, Jeff. That's
no,
what
I didn't.
You think.
Can I please finish? Say what I said then.
Sure.
I said specifically, Brown, that people like this administration need to have confusion so that they can implement their plan and be the saviors. That's what progressives like to do. Progressive liberals like to do. They like to save the day.
Jeff,
and that's what they're doing.
Brown. We're really doing this really well because I need for. I'll call you back in to rebut so that we can hear both sides. We can have a clear debate.
Right.
So go ahead.
I'm putting my hand over my face that you can politicize this something of this boy getting disciplined by his father in some way. The local police thought it was excessive and it violated some law. how you can politicize that is beyond me. You can't. I don't see how you're doing that. I don't see the connection.
Okay.
Hold on,
Brown.
I don't see the connection. Go ahead.
Covina, man, go ahead.
Yeah, from what I have gathered from what has been said earlier, and I could be wrong, it happened in Georgia that the guy said.
Yes.
I feel like Georgia is not a blue state, so it's like if you're suggesting that the president somehow or the administration reaches his hands into, you know, Georgia and can control the service, whatever, that's kind of far-reaching. And I don't know, you know, if the guy actually got charged with something or if it's just under investigation and just made the press as an investigation. Because
Covina, man, listen to what Larry said initially. Jeff, put your hand down.
Yeah, he was arrested, spent the Memorial Day weekend in the jail, and had to pay a $3,500 fine just to get out of jail because he was charged with child cruelty, which is a first-degree felony. I mean, when Jeff said that, and who was it, Brown, that was talking about it, and the caller that was just talking about, well, it's Georgia's a blue state. We're not blaming the president for this. We're saying because progressives just don't reside in Washington, D.C. They're in Ohio. They're in Georgia. They're in just – and this was just this past year, April of 2013, there was a lady – Melissa Harris Perry was her name.
Oh.
Do you remember what she said?
She says a lot, yeah.
She said that children don't belong to their parents.
They belong to
the community.
Yeah,
that's
pretty ridiculous. That's a pretty ridiculous statement.
But that's what is out there, Brown, and that's what this is going down in Georgia. Yes, because it's a historically GOP state, there are people and progressives just like this Melissa Perry in Georgia, and that's what this is all about. This guy did not whip his son. He did not beat his son. As a matter of fact, everybody's talking about how overweight kids are. This kid was apparently 16 years old, but he's 4'2" and 150 pounds.
Uh-huh.
So maybe he needed to carry some of them stones out there. He got a twofer there. You know, he learned a lesson, and he's getting some exercise.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Cool.
But when you have people that are in power that actually believe, like Melissa Harris, my son, the one I brought here, me and my ex-wife, that he don't belong to us, he belongs to the community, and that's what they truly believe. And that's what Jeff is talking about when he said that they need to have anarchy or break down. The America has always been about the family. The family is the core of any community, any state, any village, any city, any nation. And when you start breaking down the core, then you have anarchy and they're collected. We're not the Borg. This is the United States of America. And for you guys that don't know what the Borg is, that's what it was back in Star Trek, The Next Generation. Was you had the Borg where it was the collective, and they swallowed everything up, and you became part of one instead of, you know, the core of America has always been the family, and you're breaking down the family, and it's been done in our community.
Lord,
where Tracy's
Larry,
railed
can I ask
on
you
it.
A question?
No. Hold on.
When you start breaking down the family, and that's what happened with the African American family, when you said you don't need a man, the government will take care of you, right? And now you're seeing the results here where you got kids that are completely out of control, but then when you have a strong African-American man like this and he's trying to discipline his son the best way he knew, which was in the military, and now you're going to throw him in jail? Come on now.
Who is that? Diva, your mic is on.
Oh. I'm just listening. I remember when I went to go visit my father when I was a little kid. I was about 10 years old, Seattle, Washington. And my dad was very hard on the discipline. He wasn't unfair. He was very just, unlike my mother. But I remember we were walking to the store. My dad had he always carried a belt around. He named his belt. He carried this belt, and the police officer stopped him. And the police officer said, "Sir, what are you doing with that belt?" And he said, "What do you think I'm doing with this belt?" This is like 1989, 1990. He's like, "What do you think I'm doing with this belt?" He was like, "Well, I hope you know it's against the law to whoop your kids." He said, well, I'll tell you what. You, if you see me whooping my kids, you can arrest me, and I'll tell the I'll tell you just like I told the judge. If I can't discipline my kids, then you take care of them, because I'm not raising any kids that will end up dealing with you in society even worse than what I have to deal with you now. And he says ground, and the guy was, and the police officer was like, you know what, sir, I respect you, but I'm just saying it's against the law. And my dad said, well, when you see me whooping my kids, then that's when you have permission to do what you have to do. Until then, let me go about my business. And we kept it moving.
But you have to understand, our parents were our parents, and they were the ones who had control over us. And going back to what Jeff said, you have to realize that the system, I'm not going to say this administration, because it's not about this is not about the Obamas. This is about the administration, or something, the system. Now, if the Obamas are a part of the system, then you have to lay blame where it is. This is just about the system and progressives. Progressives are about taking total control over you, and if you take control over your kid, that means they can't brainwash him when he gets outside of your house.
May I interject?
Yes.
I never said that this administration is the cause of that. I don't know where you guys make that jump at. We're going back to Dr. Spock days, when Dr. Spock had the book about not disciplining your child a certain way, and it came with the foolishness of timeouts and things like that that don't work, and that's why our prison population is growing faster than any other countries in the world, because there's no discipline. That's where I'm getting at. And the progressives, like this administration, are the ones that are the fomenters of that. Now, that doesn't mean that they are the originators. They are not. They are just part of the whole
Alabama.
That is just part of the whole cabal.
And again, there's. I'm going to take it off of the Obamas, because I'm going to put it on. There's a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all in the same thing.
There's a bunch of them. On both the left and the right, there's a bunch of them.
I don't know about the right so much.
Now, when I say right, okay, let me put it this way.
I have a hard time.
Hold on, Brown. Hold on, Brown. Brown.
Has nothing
Brown.
To do with politics.
You're missing my point, Brown. We're going to call everybody in so we're not talking on top of everybody, and I'll make sure that you get your point in.
Fine.
But we got to make sure that everybody get, and we don't step on top of everybody's point, because when you're listening out in the public, it's very difficult for people to hear you talking on top of everyone. It sounds like
right.
a train crash, and they change the channel, and I can't afford that. So as I said, that people don't want to believe the progressives are on the progressives are Republican and Democrat. They are conservative and liberals. It all depends. And I'm not going to say, well, it's over here and it's all this. It's not. The system is made up of people who are concerned about their own agenda, and it's not the agenda of the American people. It's just that simple. That's why when people get in office, they don't change anything, yet they bark at the moon before they get there.
Well, Tracy, it even goes into the food that we eat. You know,
oh, man.
You had a mother that packed her kid what you know, millions of mothers prior to her packed their children for lunch, and the school took it off the kid, threw it away, and made him eat the school lunch.
Chicken nuggets from
yeah,
the school.
From the school. You remember that?
Turkey yeah. sandwich
she had
with
a turkey
mayonnaise.
With mayonnaise, and, you know, he had a vegetable in there. There was she had even an orange or an apple or something like that, and they threw it away. But that's what Jeff is trying to tell you, that progressivism or that line of thought does not just reside in blue state. You know what I mean?
Can I say something? I've got to take a break in about 30 seconds. Somebody tried to convince somebody this morning on the television that Texas is going to turn purple.
I mean,
and they came back and said, not in this lifetime. I'll be right back.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery.
Man, these people are so retarded, man.
They make my head hurt with that stuff. There's nothing. There's no political connection. There's no. The man disciplined his child. Some local law, and some local police officer felt it was violating a law. It has nothing to do with any progressive agenda and what other paranoid stuff they're talking about. They make my head hurt.
Yeah, but they said they think progressives are the root of all evil. Like the police is progressive. Like what police force you know in the United States is progressive?
Well, and you're right. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. They're oppressive.
Exactly. It's just retarded. It's like they heard from Glenn Beck or some other fucking satanic dude about what's going on.
Then they put it on Melissa.
They buy into that.
Then they put it on some news commentator.
Yeah, and misconstrued what she said. I mean, when I was a kid, I've always heard the African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child, and that's basically what she was saying, that your kids, when they step out into society, it's not just about you. So it's about all of us. And the fact is, what they don't understand is, I remember, who remembers the Terri Schiavo case?
Yes,
I do.
How far-reaching and intrusive was the federal government into that case? And who was that? George W. Bush and his brother, Jeb Bush, weighing in on a private family matter.
Yeah, they it's so hypocritical, the idea that progressives are the ones that's trying to get in everybody's lives. The right wing is just as anybody's life as anybody.
Well, and then you take these isolated incidents of a man disciplining his son and getting into trouble with the law to some, you know, I don't know what happened, and I have a feeling they don't even explain the context that goes around with whatever they're talking about. But you're going to take an isolated incident of a man defending his son and some kid that has their lunch taken from them at school or something for whatever reason, and then you're going to draw it into this agenda. And you want to know what? That stuff, that crazy talk, doesn't resonate with too many voters. That's why they lose elections.
Right. There's not that many retarded people. I mean, there's a lot of them, but there's not that many. It's not enough.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why they lose elections.
Well, the progressive wing of the Republican Party are the warmongers. So,
progressive wing.
I mean,
that's a progressive wing. You take
there's
the
progressive wing of the Republican Party.
I don't even know what that means.
Let me explain it. Can I explain it?
Go ahead.
Okay. The people like Karl Rove, there's a certain guard in the Republican Party that isn't Tea Party, that isn't, what, quote unquote, what you would usually call white wing, white right wing. So that's why certain guys were ganged up on certain guys, like a Ron Paul got ganged up on because he wasn't part of the clique. There's a clique in the Republican Party that is pro-war, pro, you know, giving these big contracts to United Defense, Lockheed Martin. There's a certain part of the party that does do that. So when they say that, they're saying that those guys are the ones that are doing it. Now,
okay, stop right
I mean,
there.
You
don't go no further, please. Don't go no further. You're trying to say
I don't know how that makes them progressives.
Exactly.
I mean, that
that's
neither.
That's,
I thought
wait
they were called neoconservatives.
You're trying to say
that's
that.
What,
if,
that's
if,
what
if,
Karl Rove.
Well, okay,
Karl
okay.
Rove,
well,
wait,
that's
yeah.
Progressive is just another name. Actually, dude, you're
not,
right. They are called
no,
go ahead.
No, it's not. It has nothing to do with progressive. You're trying to say that if I want to go out and steal somebody's land, kill a bunch of people, and take their money, and take their land, take their oil, then, oh, that must be a progressive.
Well, why is it Ron Paul? Hold on, look at the Republican
National. Yeah, it is progressives. The way they go about doing, I can name a whole bunch of female feminists that's progressives on the Republican side. They
look
use,
at the way they ganged
they
up on Ron Paul.
They use certain terms like it's for women's
as
health,
a nut,
for instance.
That's why they ganged up on him.
Just because they attack him doesn't mean that he's Lord and Savior and everybody attacking him.
No, they're, when a person comes out and they're really about
up as a nut, that's why he got attacked. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome.
My God is awesome. He can move a mountain, keep me in the valley, hide before the rain.
Come on, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength
where I've been weakened. Ever he will reign.
Lift your voice and sing.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here.
Oh, you got to let that play.
The number is 347-945-5229. And I am here with Jeff and Larry. And on in the chat room, there is Brown and Covina. And 314 is Pionki. And please read this, Alabama.
Why didn't let my phone play?
Eric is out there, Diva. Aminti's there. And most of your mics are on. Good morning, Aminti. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, Tracy.
It's good to have you on. You were listening in the last couple of days, but you didn't say anything. So I'm glad to have you have your voice so I can hear what you have to say. What's on your mind today? What have you heard out there?
Oh, goodness. What have I heard? Nothing. I'm ready to have this baby.
Wow.
And so is the other baby ready for you to have that baby? If you want to know the truth about it. Well, when do you do?
May 30th.
That's today.
Yeah.
Listen, you can go into labor while you're on the phone.
You can't go in labor
when we're in. If you were in studio, we wouldn't allow it. But if you want to go in labor now and have to check out, we'll be all right. We pray that you have a healthy baby. Is it a boy or a girl? Don't you know?
That's what I wanted to ask.
I'm having another boy.
All right.
Just say boo.
Congratulations.
God bless you.
Thank you.
You're having a baby.
What are you going to see behind her and say boo?
What are you going to name
no,
him?
No. What's his name? Tracy?
Tracy. I didn't have a name yet. I have one.
You don't?
Yeah. Uh-uh.
What is it?
What about
What about Beasley?
What about Beasley?
No, Tracy.
Jeffrey.
Tracy is a good name.
Tracy. A male Tracy and no, he is not.
Tracy Jones. And as a matter of fact, Tracy married another a girl named Tracy.
Tracy?
What about Eric? Eric's a nice professional name.
Name him Bill. You ever met a broke Bill?
No.
Bill Gates, Bill Cosby.
I know plenty of broke Bills.
Hey,
call him Obama.
Oh, Lord.
Don't punish him like that.
He's a loser.
No.
I don't know how Obama could be a loser. He made it to the presidency. So.
He sure did.
A name like Barack.
Yeah, Barack. Same Obama. Barack time in 9/11.
Barack is a biblical name. Barack is a good story.
Yes, it is.
Listen, it could be a biblical name all day long. It wasn't in the White House.
Not in the years past. You know what it means, Steven?
I'm having a brain freeze on a lot of stuff, so I can't think of it on top of my head.
Yeah, it means the lightning bolt in God's hand. Brock was a warrior that blew getting credit for winning a battle because he had Deborah go before him in battle.
Yeah.
The prophetess Deborah. So
I remember the story.
Like
I just remember the meaning of his.
Hey, could you guys break down what it means to be a progressive Republican? Because I just sat there and listened to them. They went in on y'all on the break. I want to hear what they got to say.
Mitt Romney. George Bush won.
I would say McCain.
McCain.
Who's Lindsey Graham?
Yeah.
Jersey boy.
Christie.
Yeah, Chris Christie.
Hold on. John Boehner. John Boehner.
Boehner's not a blue blood. Boehner is, and we got a friend that's like Boehner. You know who I'm talking about.
But he like Boehner, but then his brother is like so far right.
Yeah,
I know
Rand Paul. He's so far right.
It's like. Man, yeah. Y'all in the same house?
So the thing is, you guys are saying that.
He's listening, I know.
Hold on, everybody talking.
I know.
Oh, so you guys
are going to comment to what Jeff said, if that's okay.
Hold on just a second, guys. Jeff, you got an announcement to make. So
yes, I have an announcement. Hold on. Here locally, we are having First Night Youngstown, which is a New Year's celebration downtown Youngstown. Is in conjunction with Ruby Tuesdays, giving a community give back. If you go to the Mahoning Avenue Ruby Tuesday today, tomorrow, or Sunday, they will give 20, and you mentioned first night, they will give 20% of their, what they take, to first night Youngstown for the celebration.
Yeah, when is that, Jeff?
It's starting today. It starts here today, Friday the 30th, through June 1st, Sunday. So all those 3 days, you go to 5555 Mahoning Avenue in Austintown, Ruby Tuesday, and you mentioned first night, they will give first night 20% of your purchase to the organization. So make sure you guys that really would like to help, and you know, you're just trying to grab yourself a summer meal here, go out to Ruby Tuesdays on Mahoning Avenue, or give them a call at 330-779-3640, or visit them at online at rubytuesdays.com as well, and go out there and help out first night. It would be a great gesture. We would appreciate you guys doing that. And that will help them get this off the ground.
Okay, it's in Austintown.
Hey,
Austintown, Ruby Tuesday.
On the corner of
Mahoning
46.
And 46. Uh-huh.
And,
how many days? 3 days.
Hey, let's break this down.
This whole weekend. This whole weekend is first night weekend at Ruby Tuesdays. They will give you 20% of your purchase toward first night's downtown celebration for New Year's. It's a big family thing. All the things in downtown. It's a very nice thing. I was involved with it for quite a few years, and first night is a very noble cause.
Hey Tracy,
if you don't get a contract to play this upcoming year,
I know, and no, yeah. I never do. Don't mess with me.
So,
they don't have enough money to pay me.
Hey Tracy,
do you realize that, Tracy?
No.
Okay, they first night cannot afford to pay me. They paid me for a couple years when I had a startup band. And they did us quite well. I mean, you know, but I've graduated from that particular thing right now. Thank God.
Hey Tracy, I think those progressives screwed that up for you too. Hey Tracy,
what did you say? Yeah.
Progressives messed that up too. Did anybody see 50 Cent throughout the first pitch?
Ooh,
that was.
I want to switch up the subject, man. We're going to
hold on, wait a minute, Alabama, Covina man, it's open mic. We can switch the subject up. What first? What? Ooh. I was working yesterday.
I'm left-handed,
yeah.
Man. It was embarrassing. This pitch was so awful. I mean, I can't even describe how awful this was.
Yeah, it was the opening pitch for the Mets, and he's getting out there. You know, he's getting all ready, and you're thinking, okay, this 50 Cent, he got to be at least semi-athletic. You know, I mean, I could see somebody that. Like George H. Bush when he went out there and made a fool of himself on the first pitch. But, you know, you think 50 Cent's going to bring the pain, you know what I mean? Oh, Tracy, it was terrible. He was left of Nancy Pelosi.
Now, hold on. He didn't throw it like a girl.
He is not an athlete. He's a dude from the streets just because he has
an
athlete.
No, that's not the problem.
Diva, you're not going to defend him. No, I'm sorry. You're not going to defend a pitch that horrible.
Eric, one at a time, Jeff.
Over aggressive. Hold up. Back up.
You
got to
pull it up, Tracy.
I know.
You got to pull it up.
I got to pull it up and figure it out.
You know what? You can't, when you have that down there.
Down where?
That yellow button. When you have it not next to that arrow, you can't hear nobody talking online good.
Yeah.
Everything went silent.
Put it back where it's supposed to be.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh. See this right there?
Yeah.
When that's not there.
Okay. Not here.
Huh?
This is something different.
No, it has to do with your
okay,
online.
If you say so.
I hear it every
okay.
day.
But anyways, Trace, you got to pull it up. It was horrible.
I have to defend my man, Fitty.
What?
Fitty been stabbed. Fitty been shot. He ain't got muscles to be able to throw that thing out there. He's a wounded brother. You know, you can't. You know,
did he throw
shot
like,
up
did
a couple
he throw like
times.
A girl?
No, I the catcher is here. And he
well,
threw
maybe
it
he has
way
no aim.
Over here.
Hey, Ben,
that's
shot.
What I'm saying. He doesn't have
you
aim. Now everybody's skilled with aim. I mean, that just come on.
He was,
you'd have to see
he
it,
was shot.
It
he was shot 14 years ago.
He's in good enough shape to beat up one of his baby's mothers and trash her apartment.
You got a point there, bro.
Yeah.
But you ever been shot?
Jeff,
I don't even know why you'd ask me anything like that. No, I've never been shot.
Because you don't just get over it even after 14 years is what I'm trying to say.
Oh,
you
got shot in the face.
Guys,
you got shot in the face, too.
Yeah, I know guys have been shot, and they could do better than what he
did.
Oh,
I'm sure.
I mean,
depending on where they got shot.
You know, he can blame it on shot and everything like that. Maybe he was a little tipsy. I don't know.
Maybe because, I'm defending Fitty. Pocket full of blood, mama, I got what you need if you're looking for some blood. I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. Come give me a hug. Get in and getting rubbed.
Please stop, please.
That's my man Fitty.
Right.
That's horrible.
That's what we do for people on their birthday. You know, we sing that song to them.
It was a terrible, terrible display. Terrible.
Leave Fitty alone.
It was almost
go ahead,
bad.
Go ahead, Covina, man. I want to hear what you have to say. They ain't going to mess with my man Fitty. That's my cat right there.
Okay, yeah, let's get to some actual something to talk about here. But as Alabama was saying about your progressive Republicans, and you named a few, and I would like to know what policies make them progressive, because the ones that he was naming or that you guys are naming, they're conservative in a lot of things, or most things they're conservative in. And Alabama was saying that if you are pro-war and sending troops to Iraq, and you are, foreign military or whatever, that makes you progressive. And I would like to know what your defense. You called out Christie, you called out McCain and Graham. What makes them what makes people conservative? What makes them progressive, as opposed specifically in Republican Party?
Okay, I'll take that one, Tracy. Here's how, and this is Larry. This is not the GOP. I look at everything on a fiscal nature. I never attacked. Although the Affordable Care Act had a lot of attack angles, I've always tacked it on the fiscal side. You can't pay for it. It's a grand scheme that to give everybody free health care, but how are you going to pay for it? I'll use McConnell, Mitch McConnell, right? He comes out and says he's a conservative, he's a conservative, but then to pass certain legislation, he'll put in like what that one. What did he put in there, Tracy? $500 million for a bridge or a road?
The road's going to nowhere.
No, well, it was something down there on there, but for Kentucky. So that's not fiscally sound. It's not fiscally sound to do some of the other things. So I attack guys like Christie, guys like Lindsey Graham on the fiscal side because they talk a good game. But then they don't follow up on it. I mean, you can get a good fiscal conservative is somebody like John Kasich, right? He come in, there was an $8 billion deficit. He said when you have that type of a deficit in a state budget where you can't just print money, you have to make some hard choices. And he made those hard choices. And he was very unpopular the very first year in his office when he made those hard choices. But fast forward to today where he's up double digits over his Democratic challenger, and it's because his fiscal policies work. Ohio is better off for what John has done. Now, some people will get on John and say he's not conservative because he took some of the
Medicare.
He expanded Medicare. Or Medicaid.
Yeah.
Medicaid. He expanded Medicaid. But if you look at it fiscally like John does, and there's another good fiscal conservative that we have here in Ohio, and Rob Portman. We just happen to have two really good, one as a senator and one as a governor. But when I say that Lindsey Graham and McCain and McConnell and Christie aren't real or they're progressive, they are progressive in the fiscal side.
Hold on, Brown.
Politicians.
No. Hold on. Go ahead, Jeff. Okay, now here let's take Mitt Romney. What did Mitt Romney do? He ruled in Massachusetts, and even if you say he did it to get elected or whatever, he created the debacle that created Obamacare. That's what they do. They like these government answers to the problem. That's what the progressives do. Why? Because they both have the same goal in mind, and that is for one world dominance. One wants a United States-led coalition, which is the right side progressives, and the left side progressives want a one world United Nations-led coalition of people to rule the world. And so, therefore, they both have to have one thing, and that is the cooperation of the American people. So you'll see progressive Republicans saying things like gun control. You'll see progressive Republicans saying things like more taxes, et cetera, et cetera, when the real conservative Republicans and even your Tea Party people, which the press has demonized quite well, they are going to stand against it. So therefore, you have a civil war going on in the progressive camp. And that's what's the difference. And so, you know, we're not saying that, you know, that anything that isn't very clearly and plainly seen. But there's a difference in Republicans when they're progressives and when they're not.
Go ahead, Brown. Brown.
I'm waiting till he would finish.
He's done.
Okay. Well, politicians. I think Larry described politicians accidentally when he said someone that talks a good game and doesn't follow through on what they say. That's what politicians do. Politicians are not principled people. They are practical people. And I think they just all exemplified that in their descriptions of these different people. Romney was in favor of universal health care. It's not a debacle in Massachusetts. It's actually working pretty well. But then
when he runs
for president, let me finish, he's against it. That's not a principled person. He's all over the place. Like all other politicians are, they're not swayed by principles. So trying to classify any politician by an ideology or by a slot as progressive or conservative or liberal or anything, it means nothing, because what you see is that they're all over the place. Because they're not principled people. They're practical people. And that's why people get angry with them when they expect them to act one way when there's other forces to drive them. That's all.
Hold on. Go ahead, Diva.
I just want to, when he said that they start advocating gun control, they start advocating higher taxes. I'm sorry. I don't know any conservative who holds a office of governorship or in Congress really, that you claim is progressive, that advocates for higher taxes or gun control. Now, there are some issues that may arise that they might understand, okay, this is something that is needed, but that doesn't really go against their fundamental principles that they believe in smaller government, they are pro-life, they believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, and all the other principles that the Conservative Party strongly believes in. So because they go about handling their office according to their position according to what their constituents want, especially Chris Christie being in a blue state, he has to look at, okay, is it worth me taking the risk and giving the people what they want, actually, or do I make the Conservative Party mad? So to label him as a progressive just based on what you think,
go ahead, Jeff.
It's not what I think, Diva. You have to look at what I said, and that does. He's not being practical. That's not those aren't principles of the party. Those aren't principles that even work, and they know it don't. Massachusetts is in a debacle. They are failing in that program because it's cost too much money. You can't do it.
Can I listen? I've got to take a break really quick, and then I've got to come back and then take another break because I skipped it. The number is 347-945-5229. What the problem is blue state, red state, it's about the mindset of what they want for control and why they're there and what they're doing and how they think America should look like. And that's the difference between progressive and a non-progressive. We'll be right back.
on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff work slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
When you choose a Kubota BX Series tractor from Unkifers, you'll have the strength and versatility of a compact utility tractor with the agile hand.
I'm confused.
They make my head hurt.
I'm not confused, but I just think that they get mad at these conservatives who basically embarrass them because, let's face it, conservative principles do not work in this day and age. They just simply don't. And they and these people who hold office, they realize that it's not working for where they're at. So now they're embarrassed. So now they want to say, oh, no, you're not a part of me. You're not a part of us. No, they're what we consider, because there's nothing about Chris Christie, George Bush the father, that says progressive. Nothing.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Because what they want to do is, yeah, because everybody knows, you can't blow down economic BS. Everybody knows. So because it don't work, now they just want to say, okay, that really wasn't progressive. We were just kidding all along. That's not real progressive. I mean, that's not real conservatism. We were just kidding. No, what that really was progressive. We're going to come up with a new thing of conservatism. No, this is the real conservative. It's just bull crap.
They're meaningless. They're pretty meaningless terms. And I swear, Jeff, and then this other guy, Larry, I haven't heard him before. Their thinking is so warped and so disconnected. Jeff said that the Republicans are all New World Orderists and they want the United States to be running the world. And the Democrats are New World Orderists and he wants the United Nations to be running the world.
Well, that's what he's talking about when he's talking about progressives. He's looking at the progressives.
No, listen to the conclusion that he drew.
Yeah, that's the conclusion he's
drawing. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, but that's usual.
Jeff is retired.
530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600-WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and friends. The number is 347-945-5229. It's open mic. I've got to take a break in about 10 minutes. I pushed my break too close. Jeff, you got Tuesday.
Yeah.
Ruby Tuesday coming up.
Ruby Tuesday and First Night at Ruby Tuesdays in Austintown, Ohio, 5555 Mahoning Avenue, is partnering with the First Night Youngstown Incorporated to give, if you go eat at this Ruby Tuesday this Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Do you have to mention?
Yes, you have to mention First Night. And they will give you 20% of your purchase to the First Night organization to put on First Nights in downtown Youngstown on New Year's. So this is a very good cause that these people work very hard to raise money all year to put on very strong family entertainment on New Year's where people aren't drinking and shooting off guns and things like that.
It's a family-oriented event for New Year's Eve. There's no drinking. There's no violence. It's a nice family. You bring your kids out. They have fireworks for them. They do a very, very good job with doing that.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Why is it hot in here?
Yeah, it's hot. Normally, I'm freezing in here. Tracy got it all. But, Tracy, can I clarify something that I said earlier?
Yes,
and I'll bring it into what we were talking about off air. When I attack everything fiscally, that's because I've owned a business before.
Yeah.
And then actually a couple businesses, and you look at it. Tracy, you was talking about a system that you want through a mutual friend of ours.
Yes.
But what did you say?
Cost too much.
Right. So that's why I always attack everything from the fiscal side. Yes, it costs too much. You would like it.
But
there's a want and a need. And right now, that's a want by you, not a need.
Progressivism is about control and how they think America should be. And let me say this. There are people who believe that, and I call them the elitists, and the elitist mindset says, we are the brain trust of America. And I think if you want to, if you go into Black history, the difference between, somebody turn their radio down, please. The difference between the Bowies and Douglas, because remember there was the talented tenth.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to understand that there are people who think that they are smarter than you, so they should make all the decisions for you down to how you raise your children because you're not smart enough to do it on your own.
Right.
Let me interject something onto what you're saying right there. Not how America looks.
But how the world looks.
How the world looks and how America fits in it.
And people think that they are inferior, and so other people are smarter than them, and so they relinquish their power and their control to others because they make you feel as though you can't do it on your own.
Uh-huh.
And what others believe are not progressive, hold on, what others believe that who are not progressive, they believe that you have the ability to rise up from wherever you are, like the phoenix, and make your own decisions and become productive. And that's where we fail because people who are uncontrolled are enslaved. And I don't think we really understand it. And we look at slavery as bondage. But I had a conversation this morning, and I'm going to have to take a break in a couple more minutes, and I'm going to let Brown speak. But this is the problem that I've learned. We have, in America, a non-gratitude mindset. Last night I was listening to John Houston, who is the Secretary of State here, and I think he says we make up 4.4% of the world. And he said, we don't realize that even on our worst day as Americans, it is the best day for most people in other parts of the country.
Of the world.
Of the world. And we have, I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine this morning. We push buttons and we have food. We have food in our refrigerator, open it up and say, no, we don't want to eat that. And then say, we broke. And this is when we broke. We on food stamps with this. We broke, busted, disgusted. We got lights and we don't have to go out. And our lights just automatically come on, and we got air conditioners that just blow when it's hot, and we got heaters that blow when it's cool. And we go through, and we got shoes on our feet. We're not walking on pop bottle cans, trying to not cut our feet at the bottom. That may not be the shoes that we want. They may not be Timberlands. They may not be Nike, but we got something on our feet.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us, the reason why we're in the financial situation that we're in is because we put ourselves in it.
I agree.
We can't blame everybody else. Even if we're broke, busted, it was the choices that I made. Very, 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 very few people are in the situation just because they woke up one day and they were there. They are the ones that went to school and got in trouble and didn't study. They're the ones who didn't do what was necessary. So we need to take some ownership for a lot of the issues that we have. The reason why I'm a broke black woman today is because I go and spend my money on stuff that I shouldn't spend money on. And at the end of the day, I don't even know where that stuff is. Won't even use it.
You could give it to me.
You know, another example of progressiveness is $15 an hour minimum wage.
Absolutely.
The $15 minimum wage, debt financing through the method of the Federal Reserve. Then, as you mentioned earlier, Jeff, about this is the way the world should be, but not letting other developed countries monetize their resources in order to create capital to build their own infrastructure, but rather have them go to some set up entities like the IMF, the World Bank, and WTO and borrow money from them, and it has to be stipulated how to use it. So, yes, it does exist.
And most Americans sit on the sidelines and don't believe that there is a difference. And progressivism is going to kill you before it heals you.
There's a book called Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and it speaks directly to what Pianki was talking about. But there are agents that intentionally go and destabilize these countries and make these deals and provide these loans through the IMF and the World Bank. And basically what they're doing is these countries default on these loans 9 times out of 10, and their water system or their electric system, which was built with the loan money, You should really read the book, which was built with the loan money, is now controlled by the World Bank.
Hey, Priyanki, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good.
And I don't know if you would call that progressivism. It's really not political at all. It's deceptive.
Wow.
It's a deceptive power play. The book, the name
whatever.
Of the book is
hold on, because I want Priyanki to come in. He hasn't said anything this morning, and I've got to take a break in a minute.
He just got finished.
Yeah,
that was Brown.
No,
that was Priyanki.
No.
Just before Brown, that was Priyanki.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I'll tell you this, Brown hit a home run there because that book, if you read that book, there's a modern-day guy that is...
Have you read it?
I've read it. There's a modern-day guy that's him.
That's
and
him.
It's George Soros.
George Soros.
And where does George Soros put all of his money and political power? And he's the guy that took down the pound in the U.K.,
UK?
And he shorted the
not
pound
just
and made.
Soros.
Well, I'm just saying that I didn't say it was just Soros. I said if you wanted a modern day example, that is the guy.
He's the face of
the
world progressivism guys, from the left.
And then
God,
he uses the money that he
politics,
made.
Brown.
One at a time.
He uses the money that he made. I mean, he destroyed the pound, and that's how ushered in the U.S. dollar as being the reserve currency, which we are in jeopardy of losing now.
And let me say this, and Brown, we need you say politics. Everything you touch has a legislation piece to it that's political. You say you despise politics, but you're in a part of the game whether you participate or not. And what my problem is, we are sitting on the sidelines being non-participatory, yet we're still playing in the game, acting like we're not there, but we are being kicked off. So when your child dies too young by gunfire, it has a political opponent that goes with it, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. And your pacifism is the cause of it.
Well, I don't have a problem with politics. I have a problem with politicians because they're disingenuous and they're fake
but
and
so
they lie.
Are people.
But
politicians
right.
are nothing but their politicians are nothing but what people make them.
Are polished professional liars because that's what
no,
they do.
Brown,
anyone,
listen,
yes.
No, Brown. No, no. Listen to what I'm saying. They are what you allow them to be because if you employ somebody and he's a liar, you can call him a politician or you can call him a bad employee. But the question is, why do you continue to keep him on your rank and file when you know that he is a liar? And he doesn't do what he tells you to do. You hire these people, you pay these people, and they tell you you have no power, but what you fail to realize, all the power is in your hands. We'll be right back.
The more significant point that I wanted to make is that economics drives politics.
True.
Well, it does drive politics, but I was going to make a point. The guy, what's his name, that's on the panel with them?
Larry.
Larry made a statement. Well, just like the progressives make all the time. He said that we are about to lose the U.S. dollar as being the reserve currency. Well, if you look at how the U.S. dollar got to be the world currency, it was through deception, it was through fraud, and it was through underdealings. And it needs to not no longer be the world currency.
That's how everything happens on a large scale when it comes to big money. That's how it all goes down, some fraud or deception or an outright war.
Anytime you can, as they always state, how the U.S. dollar, you know, fractional banking itself is just is a sin. It's just totally cracked up.
Well,
yeah, he's been criticizing progressivism, and he makes a progressive statement himself.
See, my problem with what he's doing and what he always do, and Larry is throwing it in too, is they'll take everything evil and paint it with a brush of, oh, that's progressive. So, like, if there's a prison raper, that's progressive. If somebody drunk DUI, that's progressive.
God,
somebody
got,
shoot
it gets,
somebody.
It's so,
everything's
it's,
progressive.
It's such a low frequency. It doesn't appeal to anybody that can think. It's almost like other people you hear on Blog Talk that whatever their hot issue is, whether it's homosexuality or whether it's this or whether it's race or whatever it is, whatever they're talking about, whatever issue comes up, they find a way to bring it back to their hot topic. And these guys are just they're turning everything into politics, and everything into politics and what the progressives are doing and the left is doing.
Right, and somewhere they're going to throw in George Soros and Margaret Sanger, and it's like, and that's their whole worldview is just faith-based. They have this idea, it's end times, doomsday is coming, any crisis is coming, so everything has to fit that narrative. They shape everything to fit the narrative that, yes, the world, the new world order is coming, and any crisis is going to be here next week.
The new world order is here.
But what gets me...
Well, the whole concept...
What gets me about it is that they act like their positions and their side is so much better for everyone. I mean, Democrats do it too, but when you try to have a conversation with them, it's like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I know better than you do, but yet they paint it as if that philosophy is only ideal with the Democrats, but yet you hear it from them all the time. Conservatives also want to tell you how life should be. Look at in the case of gay marriage. Look how they treat that. We know better because of God is going to judge us and punish us. Gay people should not allow to basically have any rights in this country. They want to create a world to where how they see fit. And then they try to act like, no, that's not it. We just want what's best for America. But yet you're doing the same thing that you're accusing others of doing. So I don't get that.
Well, to say that gay people doesn't have a right in this country is ambiguous because gay people are citizens of the United States. Therefore, they do have civil rights. But, you know, I can understand the other side because they feel like something that has been dear and cherished to them for not in this country but on the world scene since time immemorial is being subjugated. And, you know, they take the position that they do take. I always say that you should respect people. You don't have to accept them. You just respect them.
Well, I'm not going to discuss gay stuff anymore. They've worn me out.
They broke you down, huh, Beasley?
I think if anything is the biggest threat is the transgender. Because even if someone's homosexual, quote unquote, it doesn't mean that they won't have children, they won't have families, it won't mean that they still won't procreate just because someone is quote unquote homosexual. If someone's transgender, they're guaranteed to not produce anything because the transgender is transforming to a whole nother sex. So if anything is more dangerous, I would say the transgender.
But why is somebody having a different ideal of what their sexuality is has to do with anybody else? How is their threat or danger to American society?
Because as I always speak about, the going back to the whole abortion thing, we have to look at why is it that women no longer have the desire to want to be mothers or want to create life anymore? Why is it that a woman, speaking from experience, will feel ashamed because she's pregnant or she's having a baby? We have to look at that. When this is a part of being a woman, and she's not wanting that anymore, if we're going to say a high percentage of women who are aborting or doing it because of convenience or whatever the case may be, so why would we be surprised that this transgender who's transforming over to want to be a woman, and there's a lot of women who look at the percentage of women who are having fibroids and hysterectomies out here. You think they're not recycling those hysterectomies and giving it to those men who are transgender? We have to look at this.
But what? You said the transgenders, they're a threat. What are they a threat to?
Yeah.
I said dangerous, not threat. I said danger.
Dangerous for what? What are they putting in jeopardy? What's in danger?
Because if anything is going to be the reason that there's not going to be any more children, it's going to be because of the transgender.
But don't act like everybody is going to just switch over to being transgender or homosexual. Homosexual doesn't mean you won't have children,
Diva. There's a lot of homosexuals that go to other people just for the sake of just having babies together.
Okay, but you're saying that the threat is that people won't be having children, but you're acting like, but that implies that the mass of America will now just switch over to transgender identity.
Because
here's the reality. The population is growing.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Began my job, I swore I would tell the world my story. I have been warned repeatedly not to, but I feel it must be told. My job was to go to countries that were deemed ripe for the picking. The company I worked for taught me to find any data necessary to deem massive public works projects feasible. One after another, private companies would finance these projects, driving the countries deep into debt. They often wouldn't be able to pay back their loans and would be forced to offer their natural resources and military allegiance to the United States as a way of payment. This way, they would never be able to be free of U.S. influence. My name is John Perkins. I was an economic hitman. This is my story. This is true. The world needs to know.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's open mic today. I want to hear from you today. And I was playing, there's a movie, Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins. It is a documentary. And actually, if you go to YouTube, if you find it, I think you can actually find a lot of it online. And if you go to, I'm going to try to see if I can get him on. Thank you so much for Brown for bringing that to the, because I've never heard of the book, and I will try to get him on as well as read the book. Jeff, I don't
Tracy.
Know everything like you.
No, you. We've talked about this book before.
That doesn't mean I know about it.
You don't remember about it.
Do you
That's
see how many books people, I just got done telling you I want to go on FileMax, because I get, and you telling me, I have eight bookcases in my basement. I want them to go away.
I'll take your bookcases.
But they got the books
Tracy.
In them. No.
I got the books in them.
You know what? I have a cellar full of books, old law books, all kind of different things my father had. I got to get rid of them. I don't know what to do to get rid of them. Somebody help me.
If they're textbooks, you guys might as well just toss them out and burn them because nobody will take them. But if the rest of them, you go to Friends of the Library.
I got to find the Friends of the Library.
No, it's in Poland Library.
Yeah, I got
to
do
that. But you got to pack it up yourself and take it to them.
Yes, that's what I'm doing.
Take it to the Friends of the Library. Somebody asked me last night, did I want any books, and I was like, no.
And I don't know whether they'll take them because some of them have
been the law books.
I got law books.
Here now, there's a book drive, Jeff. You can donate them to
Diva,
them.
I told you, Diva, I had a whole thing full of them.
I want them, Jeff. I'm serious, too. When I come up that way, do I need a... U-Haul truck? What?
No, not a U-Haul truck. But
how many volumes is it, Jeff?
Too many for me to count. I haven't opened up
my treasure.
I haven't opened up all the boxes. See, we had a library in our basement years ago that we had to go to, and so it was well stocked. We had encyclopedias. We had all of that stuff. We had children's encyclopedias. We had it all because my father insisted that we read and study, and we weren't allowed to do things if we didn't.
Oh, Jeff, Jeff, listen, you can go. Your parent, hold on.
My father had a belt too that he named.
Hey, Tracy.
For that. Yeah, Pionki, how you doing, darling?
Yeah, I wanted to point out something to Larry if he's still there.
Yeah, Larry's still there.
Yeah, you know, when you made reference of that the U.S. dollar is no longer, you said we're about to lose the U.S. dollar as the world currency. Well, that in itself is a progressive statement. They don't want that to happen. Whereas I think it should happen, given the history of how it became the world state currency, trade currencies, and also how it is used as political tools of warfare. How it's used in boycott and sanctions, how if your policies don't agree to us, then we will target certain individuals amongst your government, and they usually use the word regime, whereas they cannot participate on the SWIFT code system to move their monies around. So,
who's this, Pianki?
Yeah.
Pianki, you know, I'm not advocating it. I'm just telling you that there's a consequence for that. It is what it is, and that's what's going to – and they're driving that. And there's when I say they, there's people, that the puppeteers or whatever you want to call them, that are driving that. It's already happening. You have China and Russia just signed a deal where now they're trading with for oil, and oil has historically for the last, what, five, 6 decades – been trading what they call the petrodollar, which is pegged to the U.S. dollar.
Absolutely.
China and Russia aren't doing that. China, Russia, and India aren't doing that anymore. They're doing it, and they took their three currencies and came up with a value between the three, and that's what they're trading in. And that's what you see the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, what was the other four there that we deal with that all are oil-producing nations in the Middle
Iran
East?
Iran and all, one other, but you know. You know what, Larry, I think that's a good thing. Look at the way minerals are priced. Minerals are priced on the London Monetary Exchange, and also commodities. And look how they use that against developing countries by setting the price to the point where it's so low that it's impractical for small farmers to even participate in growing. And let's look at one other progressive idea, that is GMO foods. Now, they would say that, well, we are able to produce a higher yield per acreage than ever before, thus allowing you to feed more people. But at the same time, if you don't have the seeds in order to start next year's crop, and if your politics does not fall in line with that of the United States, well, they would demand that Monsanto not sell you any more seeds.
South Carolina, your mic is on. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I was in earlier, but I had to leave out for a minute there. I hope you all are having a great day.
We are. The sun is shining. No happy today.
Yep. Yeah. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I'm just trying to figure out what Mr. Obama is going to do about Mr. Shinseki. In actuality, it's not his fault.
2 minutes.
2 minutes, Dougie Fresh, you're on.
2 minutes.
Don't worry about it. He's not going to do much of anything. There's nothing he can do. He can't do too much about it because he's not going to do anything about it.
Kentucky has to go. He's not qualified.
Jeff, this is not even about qualified.
Uh-huh.
They need to go to an outside.
Oh, great.
Private individual basis company, and bring them in there. If anybody wants to know, call up to Washington and tell them there's the Mayo Clinic, there's Cleveland Clinic, there's John Hopkins, there is Kaiser Permanente. There are many, many medical facilities that can help them organize massive patient loads. They do it every day for a living, and they're very good at it. Help them revamp and reorganize. It's not rocket science. It's been done before.
Yeah, those companies are evil, greedy, you know, corporations, and we can't trust them to do anything. They'll be taking all the patients' money and treating them bad.
It's
got to be some Ivy League. It's got to be an Ivy League progressive that feels in a position.
No,
there you go.
I want to interject something. Did you see that Snowden made a remark? Late in his this hit very little of the press, but it hit the press. He said the United States government is preparing for national unrest. Now, what does that mean? And this is what we've been screaming about on this show, and many others, of course. But the thing is if the dollar fails, do you understand the impact that's going to have on every last one of us, and not just every last one of us, but the poorest of the poor.
Can I tell you all something?
Mm-hmm.
If you see a lot of billionaires spending a lot of money, making a lot of moves, buying tangible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand, if the dollar doesn't mean anything, the product or the commodity still does.
Yeah.
So your orange seed, your orange plant still has value if the dollar goes down.
Oh.
So when you spend $2 billion for a Clipper team, you are getting rid of excess cash that you know at the end of the day won't mean anything, but you have a commodity that when you turn it to the Amero will have value.
Will have some value.
So that you understand that. And we as the normal people who have no money need to pay attention because your dollar really, and I think was it during the break somebody said something about if you look at what's going on with the shrinkage of everything. Was
yeah.
that on the break or was that
yeah,
live?
On the break.
You, a Reese cup is the size of a quarter now.
Right.
When a Reese cup used to be the size of your head. Larry's head was about as big as a Reese cup. Now.
Right.
That was good, wasn't it?
Real good.
That's inflation.
Now it's the size of a quarter. Can
right.
Do we really understand that?
I do.
And we as regular lay people are not paying attention. Again, like I said, they're using us as pawn pieces on the chessboard, and no one's paying attention. You want to hear what he has to say?
Dougie Fresh is on, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, Bianchi. Hold on.
That ain't the fact that a Twinkie is now the size of a piece of Wrigley's gum.
The process of firing many of the people responsible, including senior leaders at the Phoenix VA. He's canceled any possible performance bonuses this year for VHA senior executives, and he has ordered the VA to personally contact every veteran in Phoenix waiting for appointments to get them the care that they need and that they deserve. This morning, I think some of you also heard Rick take a truly remarkable action. In public remarks, he took responsibility for the conduct of those facilities and apologized to his fellow veterans and to the American people. And a few minutes ago, Secretary Shinseki offered me his own resignation. With considerable regret, I accepted. Rick Shinseki has served his country with honor for nearly 50 years.
With considerable regret.
He did two tours of combat in Vietnam. He's a veteran who left a part of himself on the battlefield. He rose to command the 1st Cavalry Division, served as Army Chief of Staff, and has never been afraid to speak truth to power. As Secretary of the VA, he presided over record investments in our veterans, enrolling 2 million new veterans in health care, delivering disability pay to more Vietnam veterans exposed to Agent Orange, making it easier for veterans with post-traumatic stress, mental health issues, and traumatic brain injury to get treatment, improving care for our women veterans. At the same time, he helped reduce veteran homelessness and helped more than 1 million veterans, service members, and their families pursue their education under the post-9/11 GI Bill. So Rick's commitment to our veterans is unquestioned. His service to our country is exemplary. I am grateful for his service, as are many veterans across the country. He has worked hard to investigate and identify the problems with access to care. But as he told me this morning, the VA needs new leadership to address them. He does not want to be a distraction because his priority is to fix the problem and make sure our vets are getting the care that they need. That was Rick's judgment on behalf of his fellow veterans. And I agree. We don't have time for distractions. We need to fix the problem. For now, the leader that will help move us forward is Sloan Gibson, who will take on the reins as acting secretary. Sloan became deputy secretary at the VA just 3 months ago, but he too has devoted his life to serving our country and our veterans. His grandfather fought on the front lines of World War I. His father was a tail gunner in World War II. Sloan graduated from West Point, earned his airborne and ranger qualifications, and served in the infantry. And most recently, he was president and CEO of the USO, which does a remarkable job supporting our men and women at war, their families, our wounded warriors, and families of the fallen. So all told, Sloan has 20 years of private sector and nonprofit experience that he brings to bear on our ongoing work to build a 21st century VA. And I'm grateful that he is willing to take on this task. I met with Sloan after I met with Rick this morning and made it clear that reforms should not wait. They need to proceed immediately. I've also asked Rob Neighbors to stay at the VA temporarily to help Sloan and the department through this transition and to complete his own review of the VHA. In the meantime, we're going to look diligently for a new permanent VA secretary, and we hope to confirm that successor and fill that post as soon as possible. And we're going to do right by our veterans across the board, as long as it takes. We're not going to stop working to make sure that they get the care, the benefit, and the opportunities that they've earned and they deserve. I said we wouldn't tolerate misconduct, and we will not. I said that we have to do better, and we will. There are too many veterans receiving care right now who deserve
everyone faces
all of
challenges.
An honest assessment if something is not working. And this week I visited some of our men and women in uniform at different stages of their service. Our newest Army officers who graduated from West Point, our troops currently serving in Afghanistan, our veterans and our military families at Arlington. And what I saw is what I've seen in every single service member, veteran, and military spouse that I've had the privilege to meet. A selfless, clear-eyed commitment to serving their country the best way that they know how. They're the best that our country has to offer. They do their duty. They expect us to do ours. So today I want every man and woman who served under our flag to know whether your tour has been over for decades or is just about to end, we will never stop working to do right by you and your families. Let me take a couple questions.
There's your president. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I know that we were talking about finance and money. Military is important. And
hey, Tracy.
He's
yes,
so
young.
Full of it. I think
you know,
wait him one at a time.
Was, you know, on the issue of veterans, the veterans pose a problem because the United States can't afford to take care of them the way they should be. That's a heck of a debt that this country really doesn't have the money to deal with. And another point, somebody mentioned that Snowden had said that the agencies of this country is preparing for civil unrest. Civil unrest won't come from, it will, but not strictly from the fact that the dire position that the U.S. dollar is as far as the world is concerned. The civil unrest is going to come from those unfunded liabilities that people have paid into and expect to receive at some point in the near future, and they won't be there. That's when folks are going to get pissed off.
Well, may I say something?
Hold on. Hold on, Brown. Go ahead, Larry.
But Tracy, it kills me because everybody is starting to see that now, but there was people that talked about that and have been talking about it for decades.
This is not new.
This is not new.
This is not new.
It's just you can't kick the can anymore.
The problem is
the road is over.
The problem is, and I'm not going to blame the President of the United States for this. I'm not going to blame President Obama for this. The problem is if he had paid attention to fixing that which was already broken instead of trying to create another breakable piece of policy, we would be further along because he campaigned on change.
Mm-hmm.
He
that
campaigned
you can believe in.
That you could believe in. He campaigned on hope. He campaigned on some things, and he put people into the mindset, I'm going to do things differently. I'm going to be transparent. I'm going to do this. And instead of him going in there and doing that which he said and letting the – because the people were already behind him. Whether I was behind him or not, there were he had the people behind him, including – they had Republicans for Obama. Hello? You had conservatives for Obama. You almost had Tea Party people for Obama. You had – it was crazy. You had this opportunity that you squandered, and look where we are now.
And he had both
and
House
so he
and the Senate.
And got into
the
White
Senate.
House because he didn't have people behind him. He didn't have a conciliatory Congress needed to bring about the change that he campaigned on. He went into a very hostile environment.
There we go.
Say goodbye, Larry. I'm going to be back. I got a break. Larry, I got to take a break. I'm leaving on that.
You know what?
Supermajority in the Senate.
There
he
no.
had, he
no.
had a
Is to pay a whole bunch of money. It doesn't work all the time.
No, that's absolutely what it means.
96.4% of all elections are won by the person who spends the most money.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. After that comment from Diva, I'm sorry, y'all. A cloud came over, and I couldn't see the sun. I had to go. I'm sorry.
You'd have to plan for the next half hour straight to move that cloud.
I had to. Something happened. And
that was endlessly crazy.
I mean, y'all have got to be some of the dumbest people that I've come across that you don't understand what a filibuster rule is.
Diva, what are you talking about? I'm talking about you.
We just got the specifics during the break. For 3 months, he had a filibuster-proof Senate, period. He had everything in his first 2 years. And he only lost the filibuster-proof.
He never had any intention for any change. He said what he had to do to get elected.
At least Brown got that right.
Maybe.
All politicians do.
Brown, I got to let other people in. Yes, go ahead, Eric.
Obama has had the easiest presidency in the history of the presidency. I mean, this man, he sings happy every single morning. I mean, he just gets, again, the day, which you just heard. He slides through it. He just gets away.
Eric, he would be so far to have pushing his agenda without causing the strife if he had just been somewhat conciliatory, and he would not have had such a terrible presidency. I mean, history is going to show you what he did not accomplish.
He's black.
He's arrogant. See, you have to understand something. This guy is pompous, arrogant to the nth degree.
I think he's
sociopathic. I think he's also very, self-aggrandizing type of person, and you have to look at the arrogance with which he controlled himself.
Okay.
Because he's black, Jeff. Stop picking on him because he's black.
That's right, Jeff.
It almost sounds like it, because the previous administration before that was pretty arrogant.
They weren't arrogant.
Hold on, Brown. One at a time. I can't get y'all to do that.
It's hard to ever have a discussion like this when you don't ever concede any point at all.
Brown, you're talking to Jeff. I'm getting to tell you, I don't think that Bush was arrogant. I think that Cheney was arrogant.
Cheney was very arrogant.
You have to understand, I separate the two, because each administration has its own dynamics. The Bush presidency showed you the arrogance of Karl Rove and Cheney.
I agree.
And Wolf of Bush was a Rumsfeld.
I will give you that a lot of the overtones of Cheney and Karl Rove and Rumsfeld, all that played into it, but it wasn't Bush. But I will say President Obama, Valerie Jarrett comes out as this meek-mannered, wouldn't hurt a fly grandmama, but she is ruling the roost, her and Michelle Obama behind the scenes.
Neither one of them looked like that to me.
I didn't say when she comes out. If you listen to her.
And
not
Tracy.
I said the cat.
We
I mean,
understand because you know more than
no,
the
no,
average
no,
bear.
No, it's not about knowing more. It's about looking at what they're doing. She's a snake.
Jeff. But the snake has on a wig that's twisted, and she needs to call up. She needs to call up a new hairdresser and get a new wig because with the kind of money she's making, she can afford it. I thought it. Call her
Tracy.
Up, Diva, because you know you need to be there. Yes, Pianki.
You know, Jeff, you should be able to contribute to this. When politicians make that age-old verbiage slogan called change, it works. But here's the point. You got so many people with a definition of what change should be. What change are they talking about? You know,
well,
some people want fiscal
change. And nobody knew what that meant.
Right. Nobody knew what it meant because everybody got in the back of their mind what change they would like to see. And normally it's not the change that the politician is talking
about. But let me, well, Pianki, you have to understand the President of the United States said she was going to have a transparent administration. And that was not, That was a bold-faced lie. Nothing that he has ever done from the time he walked in the office till now has been transparent. So his initial change and the first change he was going to make with transparency has never happened.
I disagree with you.
We have to pass the bill to see what's
doing.
How can you disagree with that?
No, I'm picking with you. I'm being facetious.
Oh.
The other thing is he was very open with his homosexual evangelism of the world.
No, he wasn't open with that. He wasn't open with that because I told everybody before he became president in 2008 what his agenda was before he got in. He wasn't transparent with that until a year and a half after, before.
No, in his speech to the DNC 4 years before, he said, I dream of two Americas where you should be able to love and marry whoever you want
but
to.
But he forgot to tell the evangelical church that when he went and talked to them.
Well,
so I've got Blake and Jakes and all them all up in arms because they didn't believe
good.
Me. Because they thought I was telling a story on the man, and I was hating him because I was Republican. And I told, and then people tell me I'm not allowed to gloat. I don't understand the gloat thing. I let me gloat.
Gloat.
I don't normally speak with people that have faith in politicians and that don't understand the driving forces of politics. I don't know what I'm saying is you guys believe in the political system.
No.
Majority of you seem to. You participate in it.
Listen. I don't believe in the political system. I believe in the political process.
That's what
I
understand. Same difference.
No. There's a difference between the political system and the political process. I'm trying to get people involved in the process. So the system does not roll over them like a steamroller, like it's doing.
You are
a participant just by being born here. You. There is no way of when you are born as an American citizen, you are already a part of the process. The question: are you going to be a participating part or a passive part? And Americans, they tend to check out and become passive instead of being participating. Even those that actually vote.
Good grief.
I'm serious.
All I'm saying is that the difference between the process and the system is a very slight nuance to the larger point.
No. Brown, come with me. Walk with me on this. You have your school board. Let's start in a micro way. You've got a school board that you have total control over in your municipalities, in your school district. That you can actually govern and take an active part in it. And the majority of people across the United States do not even understand that. And that's where a lot, if you go back and look at the resumes of a lot of these people, you will find they started their political career either on school board, city council, or state rep.
Where people start.
And you have the control right there to start controlling them and getting what you need and making sure that your children and that you are being serviced by them. Because your taxpayers are all politics are local. And because we are so passive, we don't even understand the power that we have over the school board where these people begin, or your city council, or your township trustees, or your state rep. And because you don't pay attention to them right there, these people turn into monsters. And that's where the lie begins. And because we don't take ownership over the people that we elect locally, that's the goal. You control them when they're little before they become big weeds, big trees, when you can't reach them.
Yeah. Or you can just become apathetic about the situation, and realize. Look, I've worked in downtown Los Angeles for years, and there's lots of politicians around. I just happen to recognize city councilmen and board of supervisor members. They're powerful, and you see all types of people, and all of the time, I would do this when I saw them. I would say, "Hey, John, you remember me?" They go,
Oh yeah, I remember you.
Great to see you. Never saw me before in my life. Don't know me from Adam. Never one time, and I swear I've done this 50 times.
But
maybe
now,
That shows how people are disingenuous and fake.
No, it doesn't.
Okay?
No,
and
it doesn't.
I don't have faith in
people that are disingenuous
and fake
that's not true.
Me that they know me when they don't know me and they've never met me.
Brown, listen here. Let me say this to you, and let me be very, very transparent and very, very real with you. People come up to me, and they say, "Hey, Tracy, what's up?" And I really want to know who they are. There's too many faces in my head. And I'd be like, "Hi, how you doing? What's going on? How's your family?" And
see.
I don't listen. I'm telling you, because people get offended when they know who you are, and you don't have a clue who they are. And I got 2,700 people are my friends on Facebook. I see their faces because I follow Facebook. I'm telling y'all, I want to know who you are. And maybe because you're not in the same place where I left you. If you go back to the school building where I left you, I'll know who you are. But when you catch me in Sam's Club, I don't know who you are. And I'm like, dude, I don't know.
Tracy.
What?
Tracy, you didn't explain it exactly. If I were to come up to you and say, "Hey, Tracy, do you remember me?" Because that's exactly what I said to him. "Hey, how's it going? You remember me?" They go, "Oh, yeah, good to see you again and everything. What was your name? Hey, good to see you." Oh, it's great. And they look at their watch and they'll keep it going because they don't know who you are. They're disingenuous. Anybody that would do that is a phony. Is a phony.
Not
and they
necessarily.
All have done it. I have like a 99. All right.
Are you a phony?
No. I'm turned off by phones.
Who is that?
Not one time had I met a politician that said, "No, I'm sorry, I don't remember you. What's your name?" Not once. They all claim.
And what I'm
to
trying
know
to tell you
to
is,
remember me
we,
because
people get in
lie that quickly.
But Brown, I'm not having this conversation with you for the rest of my time because I'm
all
having
right,
this conversation with
money.
But I just want you to know, people get offended when you say, "Jeff, do you know me?" And it's And they'll be like, and they get offended when you say, "I'm sorry, I can't remember who you are."
Ooh.
People get really offended by that.
Let me clarify
what's
something.
What's wrong with telling the truth?
This is the thing.
I can't handle the
truth. Brown, a politician meets tons and tons and tons of people. The human mind can differentiate it, but you can't recall all the time. And the thing is you don't want to offend somebody, but if they look similar to somebody that you saw before, which is quite possible,
oh, no, Jeff,
that don't mean anything.
Hold on, wait a minute.
You guys over here making more
Brown,
than a pregnant
Brown.
Woman.
You know what? You won't listen. Listen here. I was at Styx's house.
Mm-hmm.
Styx had his 50th birthday party on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Mangi and I and Ginger went out to the house.
Mm-hmm.
We go up the steps. And there was a young lady there, and she was standing there. She was blonde, and she was small. And I said, "Hi, how are you?" And I was kept walking in. I said, "Well, you know, I hug Styx because, you know, I see him all the time. I know Paula, who's his wife."
Right.
And so the young lady, I walked up to her, and I said, "You were in Amy's wedding." And she said, "I'm Amy." Now, I want you to know she is Amy. She is Styx's daughter.
Right.
He's my co-host. I've seen pictures. I've seen the wedding pictures. She was in the wedding. I can't help she was Amy. So you have to understand. And I was like, oh, my God. But then I walked up to Josh Mandel, who's the treasurer of the state not too long ago, and said, hi, I'm Tracy. He's like, you don't know who I am. I'm like, oops, I'm Josh Mandel. I'm like, uh-oh. You have to understand there's too many faces in people's heads. And people get offended whether they be politicians or whether they don't be politicians.
Tracy.
Yes, I'm Pepianki.
You know, you're absolutely right, especially as you get older. You know, I find that myself, that the people come up to me and say, thank you for this or thank you for that. And the guy said
like,
that
well,
I got
what?
Him into the trades, and I don't even remember. So that is possibility with politicians and anybody else that come in contact with individuals over a long course of time, that sooner or later you cannot place a name to a face.
And it doesn't make me disingenuous. It just makes me old and forgetful. So charge it to my head and not my heart. But now if I tell you that I'm going to go into office and make hope and change, and the only thing I change is my name, then there's a problem. Who was that?
Not me.
Eric's off.
Am I still muted?
No, but you...
Okay,
am
I'm sorry.
Here,
no.
Yeah, you're there. Hi, Larry.
Well,
hold on.
There's the truth and there's a lie. I don't trust people that lie over stuff that doesn't even matter.
It does matter.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does, because your feelings matter.
You guys
want
to defend them lying and lying like that with all these explanations. I'm not going for it. I'm a principled person.
That's not a defense. It's reality, yes.
Tell him something. Tell him we are politicians, so we kind of understand this thing. We kind of understand. We're not meaning to offend you, Brown. It's just that we see a lot of people. I perform. I see tons of people. They come up to me in the supermarket and say, Jeff, how you doing? I don't know where I know them from, but they know
me.
Why
don't you tell them that? Why not be honest?
Because people become offended.
Because you don't want to alienate or offend somebody. You don't. It's not necessary. You just
be nice to them.
Be nice to them.
Be courteous to them. Now, if they come straight out and say, do you know what my name is? I'm going to tell them, sorry.
I'm terrible on names.
You know what I tell them, Jeff? I say, oh, yeah, you owe me $20, right?
That's a good one.
I mean, but I'm not taking offense, but I'm just telling people, and people need to know this. I went to the grocery store the other day. And it takes me a longer time because people know who I am, and they come up and talk to me, and I don't mind. But do you realize I cannot remember all the names, even the people's names that I should know? As a matter of fact, I go through my godchildren and get call them every name in the book before I get to their name. It is what it is. Now I understand why my aunt and them used to do it. Yes, South Carolina.
Tracy, I got 10 grandkids, okay? And trust me, they get called... The other one's name so many times, it's pathetic. But give me a minute, and I'll get to the right name.
Yo, Bob Sally, you know what your name is, boy. Go get me a glass of water. Yeah.
Trace.
For sure.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, and then I'm gone, because Viva still got me all fired up. I had to leave the room. Which I don't think she realizes. Yes, for almost nearly 3 months. He had a super majority, which means that Republicans couldn't even do a filibuster. They could just vote for cloture, and they'd have to vote it, and he'd had that. But even when they didn't have the super majority in the Senate, they still had 59. You only need 50 plus one. And I don't think Diva understands that the vice president presides over the Senate. He's the deciding vote.
You need 50 plus. You need 50 plus one in what? You need 51 votes in what?
To pass a bill.
No, you don't. You need a supermajority to bring about a debate on a bill.
No, you don't.
Before you even get to vote on it, you got to first bring about the discussion of the bill.
You better go back to 101. You need 50 plus one.
You're mixing that up, Diva. No, I'm not mixing that up.
Yes, you are. It's a super majority.
The bill passes the House. The bill comes to the Senate. Before the Senate can even vote on the bill, they have to debate the bill. To get to the debate, you first must need a supermajority to even bring it about for discussion.
Diva, can I ask
you
a question?
That's why most bills get tabled because they can't get past the filibuster.
Diva, can I ask you a question? Where was the discussion on health care, and how did it get passed?
The problem with health care.
No, no, no.
Diva,
answer the question.
I got
nine. I have 9 minutes left.
Blanche Lincoln.
Diva, I have 9 minutes left. I'm not
going to
spend all of them on listening to you. What I asked you was, if you needed a supermajority, tell me, and you have to have discussion about the bill, tell me how health care and the Affordable Health Care Act got passed.
Because by the time it got to the Senate, he was able to get Olympia Snowe and a few other Republicans to side with them to get passed. That's why we ended up with the bill that we have, the law that we have now in the ACA, because they were able to vote. They voted to get past the filibuster. That's how we ended up with health care.
Diva, so you mean to tell me this bill that is the bane of America right now was able to get past all the obstacles that we have, but he couldn't get anything else passed?
This was the compromise. Y'all
Diva,
act like
Diva,
this
no.
That happened
Diva,
just yesterday.
Diva,
it didn't. It
Diva,
took time.
No. I said he got that done when Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House and Harry Reid was President of the Senate. So the question is, he could get the Affordable Health Care Act passed, but he couldn't get anything else done?
With two Republican votes.
You mean to tell me he couldn't get nothing else done?
The fact is he can't get anything out of the House anymore. That's
no,
where the problem lies. The Affordable Health Care Act didn't happen overnight. That took a while to accomplish, and they focused stupidly too much on getting that done instead of getting a lot of stuff done in that small time.
So you mean to tell me he could get that done, but he couldn't get anything else done, and he couldn't get anything else done before?
They weren't looking at getting anything else done. They just spent all that time on trying to get health care passed.
And you mean to tell me, so all the campaign promises that he made, everything that was going on, the most important thing to him was the Affordable Health Care Act?
Yes, at that moment, yes, it was. And I think
he was
naive in that.
And he was willing
to fall on his
sword
and he was
stupid.
Throw
America under the bus about everything else, present, past, and future, for that Affordable Health Care Act.
I wouldn't say he threw everybody under the bus. I think he was naive in thinking that if he worked on this, then he can accomplish everything else later. I think he was stupid in that. Yeah, he did. I think he thought
that
he had it made, that he could probably get whatever he wanted, and he foolishly trusted the Republicans. He thought because he was able to
make deals
and be friends with them while he was in the Senate, that the same relationship was going to carry on as president, and it did.
No, okay,
You're almost sounding as crazy as they are now, Diva.
Hold on,
okay,
Diva, hold on, Larry.
I paid attention to every fight.
I don't
fight
care
that was going
what you
on.
Watch. Go ahead, what's his name? Larry. Go ahead. Larry, you there?
Do you want me to call
EMS?
Yeah. she has no idea what she's talking about in any bill. The Republicans couldn't even do a filibuster. He had the supermajority. There was no debate on it. Republicans couldn't debate. But do you realize, Diva, that the whole Affordable Health Care Act was done reverse? Bills always originate in the House. They go to the Senate for debate, and then there's a combined House and Senate, they kind of tweak the law before the president signs it so that they can make sure that both chambers are done. But the Affordable Health Care Act originated in the Senate, which is it's not supposed to be that way. But it did originate in the Senate.
That's not true. The House passed their bill. The Senate passed their own bill. And then both bills ended up in committee. That's how that bill happened. That's how that
once
situation
again,
happened.
You just said what he said. You just
no,
you
I didn't.
Just,
he said that the bill first came out of the Senate.
The bill that was passed was originated in the Senate, Diva. It was the one that was passed was originated in the Senate. The one that had the RFDI chip was the one that was in the House.
It's not.
It was put down.
Nancy Pelosi got the original bill that was supposed to go through, which was the bill that contained the public option. That passed. I remember how it passed. 2 o'clock in the morning, they got the votes out because she threatened nobody could go home that night. Nobody could
go
home.
The
so they ended up
Did
passing it around 4 o'clock in the morning.
Did it go to the Senate, sis?
No, the Senate tabled it and got their own bill.
The Senate tabled it.
No.
Where did the bill?
The
what
Senate
bill
had
passed?
Both their bills to the Senate House, and then they
Relax.
Went, and then it went committee, which is not what happened. The House
Relax.
Bill got tabled on the Senate floor. It got tabled. So
then what bill passed, doggone it? You tell me what
bill that passed was a compromise between the House bill and the Senate bill.
Listen, answer the question. Which bill passed?
Neither one. They've got it was
That's
a compromise bill. What we have in the ACA is a compromise of the House bill and the Senate bill.
And not so.
Okay, and who compromised
yes,
the bill? And they compromised it for who? The Republicans?
Yeah.
No, they
had
to compromise
the Democrats.
I'm done. It's been a great day. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on
the
No one knows what goes on with the nose. So I have no, you know, I'm just, it's in the weekend. You know, maybe it's going to be sunny this week, I believe.
Yeah,
weekend.
It's
going
to be a nice weekend.
So I want everybody to be safe and be happy out there. It's a short week this week, so hopefully you guys will get out and get your yard work done and tell people, Brian Barnes, if I could plug you in, I'm on the radio still. I got 3 more minutes. So you can either hold on or I'll call you back.
Hey, yeah. Don't forget the Ruby Tuesday and First Night thing this weekend. If you go out to Ruby Tuesdays here in the Youngstown area on Mahoning Avenue and mention First Night in Youngstown, they will give 20% of your purchase to First Night on Tuesday for New Year's Eve.
You know what's really funny? Ruby Tuesday think they split. They get all this free advertising for all this. And all they give is 20% if you come and eat so they can make money off of everybody else.
Yep. It's the American. Yeah. Is this not America? I like this.
And again, if this is really the more of a mom.
It really
funny.
It is.
Today. And so when you hear that they're living, we remember those that lost their lives, and then we will take care of those who are still living.
Give them $10.
Yeah, you know, give them a little donation.
All right, thank you.
No.
Give it up, Tracy.
I'm not giving you $10.
Why not?
Because I don't have $10.
You're supposed to, you just said give a donation. Brown, give me $10.
He got to put it in the mail, and the mail doesn't work on the day.
He could Facebook it to me or something.
Oh. Listen, guys, have a good day.
Well, I guess they don't send everybody off.